Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Sunday afternoon, everybody, and happy Cinco de Mayo. Welcome back to ABC Supply Stadium in southern Wisconsin as the Quad Cities River Bandits wrap up their six-game series against the Beloit Skycarp and also put a bow on a 12-game road trip that has sent the Bandits through Fort Wayne, or rather through South Bend, Indiana, and now Beloit, Wisconsin, just north of the Illinois border. Kyle Kirchva with you, as always, on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Wherever you're tuned in from, thanks so much for joining me for Game 27 of the season and the series finale between the Bandits and the Skycarp. Before we dive into today's River Bandits pregame show, it's time for our weekly edition of the Royals Minor League Report, with updates from AAA Omaha, AA Northwest Arkansas, of course Quad Cities, and Single A Columbia. You get to hear all the voices of all those respective clubs. We've got all the news, notes, and highlights you need to get you caught up on all things Royals Farm System. So, without further ado, I send it to the voice of the Omaha Storm Chasers, my friend Nick Batters.
Rained out Tuesday in Des Moines, the Omaha Storm Chasers went 5 days in a row without playing a game. But you wouldn't guess it with how the last four have gone. Omaha has taken 4 of 5 this week for the Iowa Cubs. It's the team's fourth series win in just the sixth series of the season. Honestly, a bit of everything has been going right for Omaha. The starters have combined for a 1.71 ERA, just 4 earned runs over 21 innings, including wins for Zach Davies, Luis Sessa, and Jonathan Bolin. 4 hitters have recorded at least 10 total bases this series, with 7 hits each for Nick Prado and Drew Waters to lead the way. Everyone has at least one hit this week, and 11 of 13 batters have an extra base hit, and the defense has been stellar as well, including this frozen rope outfield assist from center fielder Drew Waters in Friday's win over the I-Cubs. Now the 1-0. Club deep to right field. Gentry back on the warning track. Up against the wall. He turns around and it bangs off the wall at a right center field. Waters picks it up as Hill's around second, headed for third. It's a laser throw. Cam Devaney got him with the tag. Holy cow! Entering play Sunday, Omaha is a season-high 7 games over .500 and still in sole possession of second place in the 20-team International League, 3 games back of first place Scranton Wilkes-Barre. The Storm Chasers will try and win a 5th straight game for the second time this season, Sunday at 1, with Major League rehabber Alec Marsh headed to the mound. And it's back home to Warner Park next week for the first ever meeting with the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. For the Omaha Storm Chasers, I'm Nick Batters.
The Naturals return to Arvis Ballpark to start a two-week homestand, starting with six games against the Wichita Wind Surge this week. There's been plenty of tarp pulls, but we've been able to get all of the games in so far, and the Naturals have taken three out of the five played, including that Friday night game where Northwest Arkansas came storming back after losing the lead early. In the eighth inning, Lionel Valera played a huge part to put the Naturals over the top.
On the ground, up the middle, and throws for a base hit. Cross scores. Here comes Wallace from second. They tied it and took the lead. The nine-hitter, Lionel Valera, gets it done, and it's 7-6 in the bottom of the eighth.
Gavin Cross also hit his second home run of the week during that game, and the Naturals took a 7-6 come-from-behind victory to make sure that they earned a series split. Last night it was the Wind Surge who ended up amassing a large lead. Naturals came storming back again. We got into the eighth inning. They played at a season-high six runs in the frame, but they fell one run shy in the ninth inning with the tying run in scoring position. And that leads us into Sunday, where the Naturals can get a series win if they can pick up a W. We start at 2:05 Central Time out here at Arvis Ballpark before the off day tomorrow, and then a six-game set against the Springfield Cardinals, who lead the North Division. At Arvis Ballpark in Springdale, Arkansas, for the Northwest Arkansas Naturals, I'm Sean Mernon.
After starting their two-week road trip with a series win in South Bend, Quad City's stay in Beloit hasn't been quite as easy. But after a short three-game skid, the Bandits got back on track with a 9-5 win on Saturday and will go for a series split this afternoon. Per usual, Quad Cities has been treated to another batch of strong starting pitching. On Tuesday, Hunter Owen twirled six scoreless to lead a 6-0 shutout win. And on Thursday, Ryan Ramsey retired 11 in a row to begin his first start since 2023. But the story in the bullpen remains Brandon Johnson, who with yesterday's save has now fired off 25 strikeouts over a high A best 12 straight scoreless innings to open the season. At the plate, the Bandits broke out of a frustrating stretch during Saturday's win behind the red-hot bat of Brett Squires. After teaming up with Trevor Werner for back-to-back jacks on Tuesday, the former Sooner drove in three of the Bandits' 8 2-out RBIs, reached base in all five plate appearances, and turned an 0-2 count into a three-run lead. Front leg lifted up as he drives this pitch to center field. Going back, Luttrell. Still going back. It's off the batter's eye and gone. Brett Squires with a towering two-out, two-strike jack. And the Bandits now lead 4-1. Next week, Quad Cities welcomes to Davenport the also 17-9 Wisconsin Timber Rattlers in a battle for the top spot in the Midwest League West. With the Quad Cities River Bandits, I'm Kyle Kercheval.
The Fireflies have had some trouble with the weather and the Carolina Mudcats this week, but that's not to say that there haven't been some stellar performances along the way. After losing their first three games this week, the Bats had a party Friday night. Everyone reached base safely, and Milo Rushford drove in a career-best 4 RBI in a 9-1 win. Then Saturday, Columbia carried a 1-0 lead into the third inning when the game was suspended due to rain. The club will resume the game at noon today as part of a doubleheader with the Mudcats. Friday, Ethan Bosacker had another incredible outing in relief. The big righty went five scoreless frames to earn his second win of the young season. Through his first five appearances, tallying 24 2/3 innings, Bosacker has a masterful 1.09 ERA in the year. Another hot player is Eric Torres, who's riding his longest hitting streak on the young season. The center fielder is hitting 409 over his last six games. He's now seventh in the Carolina League in hits and runs scored, and ninth in average and on-base plus slugging. Next week, the Fireflies come home, where they'll play their next 13 games. They'll start with six against the Salem Red Sox and wrap up the long homestand with a seven-game set against the Charleston River Dogs. From Columbia, I'm John Kosis.
With that, we welcome you back to Beloit, Wisconsin at ABC Supply Stadium, where the High A affiliate, the Quad Cities River Bandits, gets set to wrap up this series against the Beloit Skycarp. As always, a big thank you to the tremendous broadcast voices throughout the Royals farm system. It's always a pleasure to put that together with them on a weekly basis. Love to keep you informed with all things Royals farm. And, of course, in the future, if you miss the River Bandits pregame show or any of the pregame shows put on by those four affiliates, you can find that report throughout social media. It'll be shared out by the broadcasters individually, likely retweeted by the teams, and of course retweeted by the Kansas City Royals player development account. So if you miss the pregame show, no worries, it'll always be there online for you. The beauty of the internet. So we welcome you back as the Bandits will wrap up this week against Beloit, and as I mentioned earlier, a two-week road trip which has sent the Bandits from Indiana to southern Wisconsin. Last night, a 9-5 victory. As I mentioned during my portion of the Royals minor league report, it was Brett Squires helping lead the way with a 2-run homer plus an RBI double. He came just a triple shy of the cycle and put together his second three-hit game of the year. Quad Cities also got a homer from Kale Emshoff, who went back-to-back with Squires in the fifth inning. That long ball, the designated hitter's first of the season. Henry Williams got the start for the Bandits. He gave up just 2 earned runs in 4 2/3. He fell just an out shy of qualifying for his second win of the season, but the win went to A.J. Block, who got his second victory of the year, allowing no runs and just 2 walks with 2 strikeouts in an inning and a third of relief. We'll talk a little bit more about the game yesterday as today's broadcast rolls on, but let's get you the lineups for Game 6 of this series. First, for the Beloit Skycarp, the high-A affiliate of the Miami Marlins, their lineup put together by skipper Billy Gardner Jr. Leading off at second base, it's Yidi Capé. Jake Thompson will be the DH and bat second, and batting third, the shortstop Josh Zamora. Jake DeLeo bats cleanup, he's in right field. Carlos Santiago bats fifth and plays left, and batting sixth, it's the first baseman Torin Montgomery. Cam Barstad is back behind the plate, batting seventh. Emanuel Marinez will make his first appearance of the week, batting eighth and playing third. And batting ninth, it's the center fielder, Chase Luttrell. He had a 3-hit ball game yesterday, and like Squires, came just a 3-bagger shy of the cycle. On the mound for Beloit, it is the 24-year-old right-hander from Hayward, California, Alex Williams, who makes his 4th start of the year and his 2nd appearance of the series after working out of the bullpen in the series opener on Tuesday. He was scheduled to be a piggyback starter, but only wound up working 2 frames, gave up 2 runs on 1 hit, a couple of walks, and 3 strikeouts. But he's mainly worked in the starting capacity this year and will once again get the ball in the first inning today. Now the starting lineup for the River Bandits, the high-A affiliate of the Kansas City Royals. Their lineup sketched together by Brooks Conrad, the third-year manager. Leading off in center field, Carson Rockefort. Carter Jensen bats second and will serve as the DH. Batting third, the third baseman Trevor Werner. Brett Squires back in the cleanup spot will play first base. Dustin Dickerson bats fifth and plays short. And batting sixth, it's the right fielder Jared Dickey, who's back on the lineup card after a day off yesterday. Omar Hernandez is back behind the plate. He'll bat seventh. Jack Pineda is over at second base, hitting eighth. And batting ninth, the left fielder Davis Nadal, who also hit a homer in the game yesterday, his first as not only a member of the River Bandits, but as a member of the Kansas City Royals organization. The starter for Game 6, the 22-year-old right-hander from Spring Lake, New Jersey, Shane Panzini. Like Williams, he makes his 5th appearance and 4th start of the year. He is 1-0 with a 5.68 ERA with 13 strikeouts in 12 2/3. Unlike Williams, he has not pitched previously in this series. The last time we saw him was April 28th in South Bend. He put together his best start of the year against the Cubs, working 4 innings of 1-run ball with 4 strikeouts. He'll look to lead the Bandits to an important series finale win today. The Skycarp are going for a series win with their 4th W of the week. The Bandits trying to force a split before heading back home tonight. Time for the national anthem here at ABC Supply Stadium. We'll shut down the pregame show, and when we come back, we've got first pitch on a Cinco de Mayo edition of River Bandits Baseball.
For the rampart. Thank you.
River Bandits baseball is back on the air today for the final time in this 12-game road trip as the Bandits wrap up their six-game series with the Beloit Skycarp, the High A affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Once again, Kyle Kercheva welcoming you inside the broadcast booth here at beautiful ABC Supply Stadium. The Bandits snapped a three-game losing streak yesterday with a 9-5 win, and they need a W today to force a split of this six-game set. On the mound for Beloit, it's the right-hander Alex Williams, an 11th-round pick by the Marlins back in 2022 out of Stanford University. As I was mentioning in the pregame show, he made an appearance on Tuesday working out of the bullpen, but this will mark his fourth start of the year today. Top third of the Bandits order, the usual suspects, Carson Rockeford, Carter Jensen, and Trevor Werner. While the Bandits are back in the road gray threads, the Skycarp are in the alternate light blues, or I guess you could say Marlins blue. It's kind of that neon baby blue, not quite teal, not quite royal blue. It's a sharp color with white pants, Skycarp across the chest, and black lettering and numbering. Bandits enter the ballgame 17-9. They're tied with Wisconsin for the top mark in the Midwest League West Division and tied with both the Rattlers and Great Lakes for the best record in the league overall. The number 16 prospect in the Royal system, Carson Rockeford, steps in the left-handed batter's box. Williams rubs up the baseball and steps on the slab. He'll work out of the full wind to get us going today. Williams with a deep breath. First pitch coming home. Rockeford swings at it and pops it in the air on the left side in foul territory. Marinez chases towards the tarp, but it lands well out of play. That is strike one. First pitch coming across today. Right on time at 105 Central. Williams with the 0-1. Breaking ball again popped up. This one may be playable. Marinez now on the left side of the chalk will make the catch. And that is the first out. So Williams gets really a couple of pop-ups off the bat of Rockeford, but just one out. And that brings up Carter Jensen, another left-handed hitter, and Quad City's DH. First pitch temperature for this series finale, 64 degrees and mostly sunny skies. Just a little bit of a breeze blowing from center to right field. First pitch to Jensen, check swing. He did not go. He takes the slider low. Brandon Schmidt has balls and strikes today. The field umpire, Glenn Meyerhofer, he threw out Brooks Conrad yesterday. First time Brooks has been ejected this year. 1-0. Little low and outside with a fastball. Two balls and no strikes on Jensen. Carter batting 278 this week with two doubles, both coming in the game yesterday. 2-0 pitch. Changeup at the knees, a called strike one. He is still top 10 in the league in OPS, and he is tied for second in total hits with 30. Williams peers in. The 2-1. Called strike, upper outside corner. It's 2-2. Fans still making their way into the ballpark here at ABC Supply Stadium. We're expecting a decent crowd for a Sunday afternoon. 2-2 pitch. Fouled over the screen on the left side. Jensen, in this season, bats 326. Two homers, 13 driven in. He's been the primary source of offense for the Bandits this year. 2-2. A little two-seam slider is tapped foul towards the on-deck circle where Trevor Werner patiently waits. Left to right in the outfield for the Skycarp, it's Santiago, Latrell, DeLeo. Zamora's at short, Capes at second. Marinez at third, Montgomery at first, Cameron Barstad behind the plate. Another 2-2. And a foul ball once more. Jensen ricochets it off the toe of his left foot and he will take a second to walk around the home plate area while Brandon Schmidt buys him some time by cleaning the plate. Yesterday, speaking of the weather, we got incredibly lucky. We just finished the game before the heavens opened, and it poured for about 20 minutes. We don't have that threat in store today, at least I don't believe. Another 2-2 to Carter. Another foul ball off his foot. And Jensen will again walk it off. So back-to-back bruises on the left leg of Jensen. He's going to, or correction, this time the right leg. So now he's got both feet impacted. Ninth pitch of the at-bat upcoming. Williams deals. Fastball called. Strike three. Upper inside corner. A valiant battle from Jensen, but he's down on strikes, and there are two gone. Williams with three strikeouts in two innings on Tuesday as Jensen gingerly walks back into the dugout. He now has 19 in 13 and two-thirds innings this year. It's been one of his best strikeout seasons, even going back to his college days. First pitch to Trevor Werner, a slider taken for strike one. At Stanford, Williams had a K per nine of just 8. But this year, it's at 12.5, albeit a small sample size. 0-1 pitch, grounded off the fence in front of the Bandits dugout. No balls, two strikes for Werner. It's the 20th game played this season for the Royals' number 19 prospect. Werner hitting just 194, but he has picked up a couple of homers, including one this week. 0-2 slider, taken low and away. Werner got a break yesterday. He's not recorded a hit since Wednesday. 1-2. Again, low and outside with the slide piece, and number 22 lays off. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. Nobody on in the top of the first, just getting underway in game six of this series. Alex Williams with another deep breath. The pitch popped up, foul over the right side, out of play. Williams, a four-year guy in the Pac-12 with Stanford. His best season, probably his senior campaign, where he pitched over 100 innings for the Cardinal. Another 2-2. Another foul ball. If you go back all the way through his college days, the last time that Williams appeared out of the bullpen before Tuesday was his freshman season at Stanford in 2019. All other of his appearances were starts. Werner bounces the 2-2 up the middle. It's fielded in front of the second base bag by Cappe. And a slightly inaccurate throw to first is hauled in by Montgomery just ahead of Werner. So it's a 3-up, 3-down, top of the first for the Quad Cities River Bandits. Alex Williams off to a good start. And now Shane Panzini looks to follow in his footsteps. He gets his first start of the year, or rather his first start of the series for Quad Cities, his fourth of the year. Bottom of one next. We're scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Shane Panzini is ready to go in the bottom of the first inning. Bandits and Skycarp scoreless through one half inning. It'll be Yidi Capé, Jake Thompson, and Josh Zamora to welcome the 22-year-old right-hander. Panzini, 6'3", 220 pounds, born in Spring Lake, New Jersey. First pitch of the ball game from him is cut on and missed by Capé, a swinging strike one. Yidi, once again the leadoff batter for Billy Gardner Jr., but that doesn't mean he won't be aggressive. He again swings away and fouls the 0-1 fastball into the netting. Back-to-back fastballs for Panzini, clocking in at 94 on the radar gun. He also throws a curveball, a slider, and a changeup. Out of the wind, 0-2, buried in the dirt. Defensively for Quad Cities, Rockefeller's in center, flanked by Nadal on his left, Dickey on his right. 1-2. Another fastball in on the hands. Capé fights it back to the screen. Dickerson's at short. Pineda at second base. Werner and Squires at third and first, respectively. And behind the plate, Omar Hernandez, who gets the start at catcher for the 13th time. 1-2. Slider left up. And Capé moves the count to 2 balls and 2 strikes. Capé, the Marlins' number 7 prospect, hitting 253 in his second season with the Carp. 2-2. Fastball, foul back again. Panzini living at the top of the zone against Capé. Just threw that one across at 95, but Yidi's been able to foul it off. He gets a new sign from Hernandez. Now the 2-2. Foul ball off the foot. Went with a slider down and away. Capé reached out and doinks it aside. Yidi, still just 21 years old, born in Havana, Cuba, the country where he defected from 6 years ago. 2-2 pitch. That one just outside, and the count goes full. So this is a high-quality leadoff at-bat for Capé. He's about to see his 8th pitch. The payoff. Fastball just low, ball 4. Well, that is an ideal start for the Skycarp Bats, who yesterday were not bad despite the loss. They scored 5 runs on 7 hits, but got all of their extra base power outside of 1 Torin Montgomery double from Chase Luttrell, their 9-hole hitter. Quick throw over to first, Capé back with a dive. That gives Jake Thompson a little extra moment to step in. He is one of 2 purely left-handed hitters in the order for Beloit today. He had a 10-game hit streak snapped yesterday. He had knocked in every game to open his year. Out of the stretch, Panzini's first pitch is a fastball center cut for strike one. Thompson, despite getting the streak snapped, still has a 4.15 average and a 10.28 OPS, including a home run, which he hit earlier this week. Panzini delivers. Fastball cut on and missed. Nice tailing action off the outer edge of the zone. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Bottom of the first at ABC Supply Stadium. No score thus far. Skycarp with a runner at first and nobody down. Thompson's now going to ask for time. Panzini, a 4th-round pick by the Royals back in 2021 out of Red Bank Catholic High School in New Jersey. Made his pro debut in 2022. With the Columbia Fireflies, where he spent most of last season as well. 0-2, ground ball up the middle, but right there, the shortstop, Dickerson. He fields, steps on second for one, and fires to first for a double play. The league-leading 27th of the year for Quad Cities, and Panzini gets the old 2-for-1. Now, the Bandits have just thrived with the twin killing on this road trip. Remember, they had 15 in 6 games against South Bend last week, the most in any level of pro baseball. First pitch, swung on and missed by Josh Zamora. It's 0-1. Josh at second base yesterday, still in the 3 spot in the order, as the shortstop swings through some heat, and it's 0-2. Panzini starting guys out early with that fastball, which has now touched 95 on a couple of different occasions. Panzini goes for the rosin bag and now steps back on the slab. 0-2. Fastball, see you later. Strike three on the outside edge. First K for Panzini, and the final out in the first. He works around the leadoff walk, and we go to the second, scoreless on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Both starters face the minimum in our opening frame today. The Bandits starter, Shane Panzini, worked around a leadoff walk, got a double play ball, and then struck out Josh Zamora. Here in the second, it'll be the middle third of the Bandits order against Alex Williams. That's Squires, Dickerson, and Dickey. Squires coming off his second three-hit game of the year yesterday, a contest in which he finished just a triple shy of the cycle and drove in three RBIs. The left-handed batter to face the righty Williams. The Sky Carp will align their defense towards right field, playing Squires to pull the ball. Williams, out of the wide, first pitch coming home. A hefty swing from Squires, but he fouls it back into the screen. It's strike one. So with the performance yesterday, Squires has lifted his average on the year to 286. His OPS is now 882. Here's the 0-1. Just low with the changeup. One ball, one strike. Squires is also tied with the man on, or in the hole, I should say, Jared Dickey. Both guys have four homers. As Squires now takes inside, 2-1. He's tied with Carson Rockefeller for the team lead in doubles with six. And he's tied for first in RBIs with 13. What hasn't he done? 2-1. Low and in with the breaking ball, 3-1. Oh yeah, and he's also stolen six bases this year. He's the Bandits' first baseman. In the driver's seat now against Williams, who has yet to allow a base runner. 3-1 pitch. In the air, but off the end of the bat, slicing foul over the berm on the left side. And it bounces out of the ballpark into the bank of the Rock River, which is just to our left here at ABC Supply Stadium. You can follow that all the way down into Illinois. And right into Moline, as a matter of fact. 3-2. Fouled into the screen. So both teams putting together some high-quality at-bats. Shane Panzini threw 11 pitches, rather 11 strikes, in his 15 pitches in the first. Williams now at 25. Total pitches, 17 for a strike. Another 3-2 to Squires. Fastball, left center cut, and shot back up the middle for a base hit. Brett Squires has now reached base in six consecutive plate appearances, and he has given the Bandits a lead-off base runner in the second. That's one of the things that I think has impressed me the most about Squires to start this year. Obviously, he's got some great power capabilities in terms of both home run power and gap-to-gap power. But there are few batters better in this Bandits order when it comes to two-strike hitting than Squires. Remember, he hit that home run in an 0-2 count yesterday. So man on for Dustin Dickerson. He'll take a fastball for strike one. A Dusty with a two-out RBI for the Bandits yesterday. He started out the game with three straight flyouts to right, then singled in both the eighth and the ninth inning. That second hit knocked in a run. Williams pauses, 0-1 pitch, high in the air, right field corner, sprinting over DeLeo towards the wall, and it's going to get out of play into the deck area. Dickerson back at shortstop. He's played there in 19 of his 20 games this season. The only time he wasn't the shortstop was on Wednesday when he was the Bandits' designated hitter. 0-2. Fouled into the screen. Dustin, an eighth-round pick by the Royals last year. He and Justin Johnson, two members of the 2024 squad who were draft picks mid-season last year and came up to Quad Cities to round out the summer. So he got some high A experience early on in his pro career. There goes Squires. 0-2 pitch, called strike three. Throw to second from Barstad is perfect. And the tag applied by Zamora. No, is he safe? No signal from Glenn Meyerhofer. And I guess Squires got in safely. Okay then. So make it seven stolen bases on the year for Squires. Looked like a strike him out, throw him out to me, but I guess Brett got a finger in there. So a man in scoring position with one out for Jarrett Dickey, who takes inside. Dickerson down on strikes. It's the second of the ball game for Williams. Dickey, as I mentioned in the pregame, got a day off yesterday. We last saw him on Thursday when he went 0 for 2 with a walk. Williams turns around and faces Squires, watching him back to the bag. Dickey has the longest on-base streak for any Bandits hitter at the moment. He's reached in 11 consecutive contests. He swings away 1-0 and bangs it towards the river on the left side. His average during this on-base streak is only in the low 200s, but his OPS is almost 900 because he's hit three homers along with some doubles. He's also walked eight times. Picked up six walks last week against South Bend. Williams 1-1. Big curveball taken high and away, 2-1. Scoreless game in the top of the second inning. The Bandits have a man in scoring position with one out. It's Brett Squires who singled to reach and then swiped second. 2-1 to Dickey. Line drive, right field, just foul to the right of the chalk. Oh, that one had double written all over it. Dickey was just a bit early on the swing. Once again, though, the former Tennessee Volunteer opening up the hips and driving something on the lower inside corner of the zone. He might very well be the best batter on the team when it comes to pitches in that area. And he is certainly towards the top of the list in the league, at least among players I've seen to start the year. So Williams now in a 2-2 count against Dickey. The right-hander's got a fresh baseball. The pitch. Dickey slaps it foul over the left side towards the berm near the picnic area. And another souvenir has been distributed. Dickey, just 22 years old from Hermitage, Tennessee. An 11th round pick by the Royals last year. He's got that big wide stance in the left-handed box. Another 2-2 from Alex Williams. That's low and in, full count. Williams now at 35 pitches. Bandits are making him work. He resets right at the chest. 3-2. Popped foul over the screen. Quad Cities had five hits with runners in scoring position yesterday. Helped break him out of a funk, which they were stuck in Thursday and Friday, a period in which the Bandits went 2-for-16 with runners in scoring position. Payoff pitch. Fouled over the screen. Let's do it again. But Quad Cities as a team this year has struggled in that category. They have been bottom two throughout the entire season in terms of average with runners in scoring position, but yesterday. They boosted the average up to 228. Another 3-2. Line drive, left center field, slicing away from Luttrell. He lays out and can't make the catch. The ball goes tumbling towards the fence, and Squires will score around second. Dickey, the relay throw, got him. Josh Zamora, the shortstop, with a perfect throw over to Marinez, and that will gun down Dickey for the second out. Dickey forcing the issue there, making the Skycarp have to convert on two perfect throws, and that's exactly what they did. So Dickey will get credit for an RBI and the double. The Bandits take a 1-0 lead. And up to the plate with the bases empty, Omar Hernandez. Right on right the matchup. First pitch breaking ball is pounded to third. It's gloved on two hops by Marinez. He shuffles the feet forward and retires the Bandits catcher to end the inning. Jared Dickey, though, extends his on-base streak in his first at-bat today. An RBI double makes it 1-0 Quad Cities. Bottom of two next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
First lead of today's ball game belongs to the River Bandits. It's 1-0 starting the bottom of the second inning. Shane Panzini pitching to Jake DeLeo. He misses low and outside for ball one. Now Brett Squires got the rally started with a leadoff single as Panzini's second pitch is high. Alex Williams then struck out Dustin Dickerson, then lost a full count battle to Jared Dickey, who doubled in Squires. 2-0, check swing. He didn't go. Pitch was high. 3-0 on DeLeo. Dickey tried to turn the double into a triple, but was thrown out on a perfect relay, 7-6-5, but of course he still gets the ribby. 3-0 pitch. That's high. Ball four. So Shane Panzini immediately walks the first batter he faces in the second inning, and just like that, DeLeo represents the game-tying run. So DeLeo will be on in front of Carlos Santiago, who we did not see in the lineup yesterday. He was 0-for-3 on Friday, but did homer earlier this week. First pitch, the switch hitter takes a strike at the top of the zone. A fastball from Panzini at 91. Tried to just make sure he got a strike across there. Took a little something off of it. DeLeo held it first. Throw that direction, and he's back easily. Jake was nabbed on the base paths earlier this week. He was caught stealing by Omar Hernandez on Wednesday as Santiago grounds it foul softly to the right side. Squires picks it up. Hernandez back behind the plate again today. He's done a good job throwing out would-be base stealers. He's retired almost 30% of the 18 guys who have tried to steal on him this year. Santiago, 22, from Venezuela. He has an even 200 average in his first few games this year. Here's a pickoff throw to first, and Panzini got him! Once again, Jake DeLeo taken off the base paths, this time by the Bandits' right-hander. That is the third picked-off base runner for Shane Panzini this year. He's got one of the quickest moves on this team. Now the 0-2 pitch. Foul back. And normally you see the lefties picking guys off, but Panzini, a righty, lightning fast on that move. Another two-strike toss. Fastball, got him swinging. Shane takes him above the letters for his second strikeout and the second out in the second. So after a four-pitch walk to start the frame, over the span of two pitches, Panzini picks off DeLeo and strikes out Santiago. Two down, bases clear for Montgomery, who takes a called strike one. Yesterday, Montgomery was a top 30 prospect in the Marlins system. Not the case anymore after the Marlins' latest trade. Breaking ball misses low, 1-1. Montgomery now out of the top 30 as the Marlins traded Luis Arraez to the San Diego Padres and got back a handful of prospects. The pitch fouled over the screen on the right side. Marlins got a right-handed pitcher in Woo-Suk Go, a center fielder in Dylan Head, center fielder in Jacob Marcy, and a first baseman in Nathan Martorella. All those guys minor leaguers. The pitch. Line drive down the right field line. It stays fair and bounces up off the short wall. That's going to hold Montgomery to a single with Dickey firing it back in. With that ball jetting out in foul ground on the right side, there's always the risk of it bouncing back towards the infield like that. And it helps out Quad Cities. So Montgomery with a two-out single will keep the inning going for Cam Barstad. Cam was activated off the injured list earlier this week, and in his first game back, hit a big home run. First pitch. Fly ball, left field, slicing on Nadal, but on the jog, he chases it down and ends the inning. So Shane Panzini with another scoreless frame. He works around a walk and a single with the picked-off base runner and his second strikeout of the ball game. We go to the third. It's 1-0 QC on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Top of the third inning in this Cinco de Mayo edition of River Bandits Baseball. Kyle Kirchbo with you on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Jack Pineda We lead off the inning against the Skycarp right-hander, Alex Williams. 8-9-1 due up for the Bandits as Jack takes outside. Three straight lefties will hit in this inning in Pineda, Nadal, and Rockefort. 1-0. That's low. Pineda was one of the few Bandits not to get involved in the offensive outpouring yesterday. He went 0-for-5 with three strikeouts. 2-0 pitch. Fastball, a called strike at the very tip top of the zone, 2-1. Pineda's average to 2.11 on the year, 7 driven in, and a 651 OPS. Skycarp shifting him to pull, 2-1. Swing and a miss. Fastball came up empty, or the cut on the fastball, I should say. Jack did have a single and a walk in the game on Friday when the Bandits really struggled to get the offense going. The pitch. Swing and a miss on the changeup. Third strikeout for Williams. And for Pineda, that's his fourth strikeout in the last two ball games. So one down in the away half of the third. That brings up the left fielder, Davis Nadal. Nadal picked up his first home run as not only a River Bandit, but as a member of the Royals organization yesterday. He takes low and inside on the breaking ball. He took Kyle Krieger deep, leading off the top of the ninth inning with a high fly ball that just got over the right field wall. Boy, the dugout loved that. 1-0 pitch. Wave and a miss. Big hack. 1-1. Davies, kind of your traditional scrappy, small, speedy utility guy. Not really one known for homers. So when he gets into one, the team gets excited. 1-1 pitch. Another swing and a miss. It's 1-2. Nadal spent the last two seasons in single-A Bradenton with the Pirates organization. Last year, he had 8 homers in 101 games. He has 13 career homers going back to his Dominican Summer League days in 2019. 1-2 pitch. Foul ball off the catcher Barstad. That hit him right on the quad. And now Brandon Schmidt, the home plate umpire, will give him a second to rub the wound. Well, in terms of the slugging percentage for Nadal, his is boosted by his league-leading 3 triples. Picked up his third of the year against South Bend last week. Schmidt and Barstad again ready to go. 1-2 is taken outside. 2 balls, 2 strikes on Nadal. Davies last year with Bradenton, just a .212 batting average, but an OPS of .721. The pitch. Wave and a miss. Took him up the ladder. Strike 3 for Williams. That's the 4th K of the ball game for the right-hander. And there are 2 down in the top of the 3rd inning. So Williams alternating back and forth between the curveball and the fastball. And he leans on the ladder to turn the lineup card over. It's now Carson Rockefort who bats with 2 gone and the bases clear. First pitch. He spins that slider in for strike 1. Rockefort swung at each of the first 2 pitches of the ball game. Popped one foul over the third base dugout, and then popped one into the glove of the third baseman, Marinez. 0-1. Another slider, this time a swing and a miss. It's 0-2. 79, make that 82 miles per hour on the pitch for Williams. He just updated the radar gun here at ABC Supply Stadium. Rockefort back in the box, 0-2 pitch. Fastball high. Catcher Barstad tried to frame it, but to no avail. After giving up the RBI double to Dickey, Williams has retired 3 in a row with 2 of his game's 4 strikeouts. Trying to pick up his 5th. 1-2. Fastball, see you later. Strike 3, upper inside corner. Alex Williams cruises through Quad Cities in the 3rd. He strikes out the side in order. Bandits back onto the field for the bottom of the 3rd. They lead 1-0.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's 5 unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Quad Cities takes its 1-0 lead into the bottom of the third inning. Shane Panzini has dealt with at least one base runner through each of his first two innings, but nothing has come of it. Right-hander's coming off of his best start of the season last week in South Bend. Held the Cubs to just one run over four innings. And now he's looking for three scoreless to start the finale here in Beloit. 8-9-1. To bat for the Beloit Sky Carp, beginning with the right-handed Emmanuel Marinez. First pitch swinging, he comes up empty for strike one. Marinez back with the Beloit Sky Carp for a third straight year as he takes a called strike two. This is actually the fourth straight year in Beloit for Marinez. Last year with the Carp, just a 199 average. He's playing in his eighth game with Sky Carp this season today. 0-2, check swing on the fastball. He didn't go. Panzini could not get him to chase. Marinez has kind of bounced throughout the Marlins system the last few years. Pitch, low and outside on the breaking ball. He's played 5 games in Double-A, 2 games in Triple-A, 2 in Single-A, 18 in rookie ball, but 278 for the Sky Carp. The pitch, wave and a miss, strike three. Third K for Panzini. He's got one in each inning thus far. And Marinez retired for the first out. So one down, nobody on for Chase Luttrell, who's been one of the toughest outs of the series for Quad Cities. Luttrell batting an even 400 this week. First pitch fastball to him. It's a strike on the inner half. Luttrell has 6 hits this week to lead the Sky Carp. 4 of them have gone for extra bases, including 3 doubles. He takes low. He had his first home run of the year yesterday, which trimmed the Bandits' lead to 2 in the 8th inning, but the Bandits would eventually get the 2 runs back as Luttrell grounds one over to second base. It's gloved about waist high by Pineda, and he tosses to first for the out. So 2 gone for the Sky Carp in their half of the third. And it's back to the top of the order for Yidi Capé. Neither team has brought more than 4 batters to the plate in any inning so far. Panzini and Williams looking really solid. First pitch to Capé. Pops up a breaking ball into shallow center field, charging in Rockeford. Pineda reaches out and makes a basket catch. That was as nonchalant of a highlight reel play as you're going to see. I saw Rockeford pulling up as he was charging in, me thinking, oh, that one's just going to land and he'll play it on a hop. But Pineda goes Willie Mays in shallow center field and the inning. The 1-2-3 frame for both pitchers in the scoreless third. We go to the fourth, 1-0 Quad Cities on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Up, six down in a scoreless third inning. The Bandits in front 1-0 as we open the middle third of today's ball game. Quad Cities and Beloit concluding their six-game series here at ABC Supply Stadium. Carter Jensen leads off the inning against the Skycarp starter Alex Williams. First pitch changeup had him out in front. A swinging strike one. Jensen down on strikes. Williams retired him looking in the first. The pitch. Fastball high. Jensen with 24 strikeouts in now 27 games this year. But of course, he has 24 walks to help make up for it. Here's the 1-1. Fastball, a strike on the inner edge. That mark no longer tops in the Midwest League, but it's second at 24 total, as I mentioned. 1-2 pitch. Rocketed into right field. If it's fair, it's extra bases, and it lands to the left of the chalk. Into the corner it goes. Jensen up to second base with another double. That's his third in the last two ball games. Second double of the game for Quad Cities. And also their second leadoff base runner. Jensen turns on a pitch, inner half, and lines it down the line. That brings up Trevor Werner. The last double the Bandits had was the RBI double from Dickey in the second inning. The only run-producing swing thus far. Right on right against Williams. Werner bounced out to second his first time and takes low and away for ball one. Third baseman Marinez pretty close to the line on the left side. Part of a shift and part of his preparation in case Jensen tries to steal. 1-0. Change up. Low. Two balls. No strikes on Werner. Trevor, the number 19 prospect in the Royals organization, drafted as a two-way player out of Texas A&M last year, but he's not doing any pitching for Quad Cities. 2-0. Foul ball into the netting. It's two balls, one strike. Quad Cities up 1-0 in the top of the fourth inning. They've got three of the game's four hits. Neither squad's committed an error. Both starting pitchers have been stingy thus far. 2-1. Slider called strike on the outer edge. 2-2. Speaking of starters, Henry Williams gave the Bandits another solid showing yesterday. Gave up just two earned runs in 4 2/3 innings. He came an out shy of qualifying for the win. 2-2. Low with the fastball, and Williams falls off the mound. He immediately is back to his feet and now brushes off the area where his plant leg was landing. Catcher Barstead's going to go out there and make sure he's okay. But once again, it's been another terrific week for the Bandits starters. Starting staff has posted a 102 whip this week. They held the Skycarp to a 174 average both of those marks lead High A this series and are top 10 in minor league baseball this week. Back behind the plate, Barstad. 3-2 to Werner, chopped weakly down the third base line. It rolls over onto the turf in foul territory, and Marinez touches up. But one of the main reasons why the Bandits are 17-9 this year has been that starting pitching staff, which at the month of April threw a 2.92 ERA. It's exactly the mark that the Bandits have right now after their first few games in May. Runner at second, nobody out. Trevor Werner battling with two strikes against Alex Williams. The payoff. Got him looking. Strike three on the outside edge. Sixth K for Williams. That is a season high. And an important first out for Beloit. So up comes Brett Squires, who picked up right where he left off yesterday with a leadoff single in the second. He stole second base and then came in to score on the previously mentioned Dickey double. First toss, called strike on the inner edge. The pitch count for Williams is already at 66. Nobody throwing in the bullpen for Beloit. Williams did pitch earlier this week on Tuesday, but only threw 38 pitches. A one. Low and inside. Carter Jensen at second base after a leadoff double. He pulled one down the right field line and cruised into second without a throw. Jensen's sixth double of the season. Now a three-way tie atop the Bandits leaderboard in that category. 1-1. Fouled into the screen. The man at the plate, Squires with six. Carson Rockefort, the leadoff man, with six. So another two-strike count for Brett Squires. But that has not seemed to be an issue for him this year. He remains dangerous regardless of what the count might be. Williams looks back towards Jensen. Now the pitch. Foul ball back to the screen. Squires with two strikes this season, hitting in the mid-200s, which obviously is unusual. 1-2. Popped them up. Shallow left center field. The center fielder, Latrell, shielding his eyes from the sun. Now can't make the catch. It lands next to him. Jensen breaks for third. Santiago throws to third, and the runner is safe. Latrell lost the baseball in the sun. Santiago there to help him out, immediately picked it up after it hit the turf. But Jensen able to take an extra 90 feet, and Brett Squires now has another multi-hit game. So this one a little bit different than his 3-for-3 yesterday, but two singles in the books regardless, and he has now reached in each of his last seven plate appearances. An RBI spot for the five-hitter, Dustin Dickerson. Men at the corners with one out. Bandits trying to tack on to this 1-0 advantage. Right on right. Williams looks to first. The pitch. Breaking ball. Bounce to third. Gloved by Marinez to second for one. On to first. That's a double play. And it ends the Bandits rally in the fourth. So Quad Cities essentially strands men at the corners. We go to the bottom of the fourth. It is still 1-0 QC. Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931. But it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Set to begin the bottom of the fourth inning at ABC Supply Stadium. Quad Cities had a golden opportunity to add to its 1-0 lead, but Alex Williams got Dustin Dickerson to bounce into an inning-ending double play to nullify the threat in the last half inning. Jake Thompson will lead off the bottom of the fourth for the Sky Carp. Left-handed batter to face the righty Shane Panzini, who has thrown up a few zeros to start the ball game. First pitch, swing and a miss. Thompson chased neck level, 0-1. 2-3-4 to hit for the Sky Carp. Thompson grounded into a double play his first time up. One strike pitch, fastball right at the knees. It's 0-2. So Thompson chases one well out of the zone and then takes a strike. And he'll ask for time here to get his bearings straight. The Bandit starter. Three scoreless innings so far. One hit allowed, two walks allowed, three strikeouts. Trying to make it four against Thompson. 0-2. Goodbye. Strike three, lower inside corner. And right on cue, Panzo's got that fourth K. He's now led off back-to-back innings with a punchy. Not a good at-bat for Jake Thompson. And now the shortstop, Josh Zamora, will try to rectify the start to the inning. Zamora, a 242 hitter for the Sky Carp this year. First pitch, fastball, a bit high, maybe inside. Zamora leads the Sky Carp in homers with four, and he's also tied for the team lead with 12 runs driven in. The pitch, fastball up, 2-0. Quad Cities wraps up this six-game series. And a road trip today, a two-week road trip today. Zamora takes low, 3-0. Bandits will be back at home starting next Tuesday to start a six-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers High A affiliate, the Wisconsin Timberrattlers. 3-0, that is high, ball four. So that's the third walk of the game for Panzini and his second on just four pitches. But really excited to be back at the best minor league ballpark in America next week. All kinds of stuff coming up on the promotional schedule, so make sure you go to riverbandits.com to see that full promotional, to view the full promotional schedule and to get your tickets, of course. Jake DeLeo shows bunt at the first pitch, but fouls it back to the screen. Coming up next week, of course, it's May, which means the amusement rides will finally be open at Modern Woodman Park. And throw to first. Close play. And Panzini's picked off another. Zamora's tagged out by Squires. And Panzo has made this a you do not run land. Shane Panzini nabbing guys off first base like he's swatting flies. A one pitch to DeLeo in the dirt. That's the eighth pitcher pickoff this year for Quad Cities and the fourth for the right-hander. And this is only his fourth start of the year. This pitch in the air, right field, shallow. Jared Dickey to his left and in a few steps makes the catch and ends the inning. Shane Panzini with two picked off base runners and another minimal effort in the fourth. He's got four scoreless and four strikeouts. We go to the fifth. Bandits lead 1-0.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities, and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com. First time this season, Shane Panzetti has thrown four scoreless innings. He's helped himself out big time with four strikeouts and two picked off base runners. First, it was Jake DeLeo being picked off of first in the second inning. And in the last half frame, the bottom of the fourth, he got Josh Zamora getting too far from first. So the Bandits bats go back to work in the fifth against Alex Williams, who also has pitched really well for Beloit, but he's given up the game's only run. Jared Dickey doubled it in off of him back in the second, and he leads off the top of the fifth, fouling the first pitch back to the screen. Dickey, Hernandez, and Pineda do up. Again, the Skycarp shifted towards right field, 0-1. Just low and inside with the slider, 1-1, one strike. Panzini has never faced more than four batters in an inning. Same goes for Alex Williams. 1-1. Chopped on the ground up the middle. Tough backhanded stop by Cappe. Throw across his body. Gets Dickey by a half step. With the way that the Skycarp were shifted there, Cappe had to run about as far up the middle as he could as a second baseman. And with the ball not hit all that hard, he had to come in a touch too, creating an awkward angle. But a strong throw to first gets the first out. And now here's Omar Hernandez with the bases empty. First pitch swing and he chases high. It is strike one. Speaking of on-base streaks, Omar has reached in eight consecutive contests. 0-1. Banged foul over the right side. No balls, two strikes. Hernandez swung at the first pitch he saw today back in the second inning and promptly grounded out to third base. He's only hitting an even 200 this year, but he's found ways to get aboard, clearly. 0-2. Foul ball off the home plate umpire, Brandon Schmidt. Ricochets off of his mask, and it's still 0-2 on Omar. A catcher himself who steps out. He understands what those guys go through back there. Williams' pitch count closing in on 80. Skycarp do not have anybody warming up. Another 0-2, another foul ball. 78 pitches, 57 strikes for Williams. Panzini's been very efficient. He's needed just 47 pitches to get through four innings, and 30 have gone for a strike. Here comes another 0-2. Another foul ball. Hernandez continues to fight. Omar is one of three catchers on the Bandits roster, but one of those guys is Cale Emshoff, and he just made his debut in the field the other day, and it was at first base where he figures to play in the future should he be not the DH. 0-2 breaking ball, low and away, 1-2. So as a result, it's been Hernandez and Jensen almost splitting the catching duties 50-50. Jensen has been in the lineup a bit more often, serving as the DH. 1-2. Check swing. He clearly went around. Strike three on the breaking ball. Hernandez down on strikes. That is the seventh K for Alex Williams. So he's already got a season high in that category. He's only given up one run. It's been a very, very respectable start for him, but he has just been outdueled by Shane Panzini to this point.
So two gone, bases empty for Jack Pineda, who looks to turn things around. A strikeout his first time up. Now he lines one past Marinez and into left field. No waiting around this time. Pineda says, I'm getting on one way or another. Great opposite field swing. Got a fastball 91 on the upper outside corner of the zone. And just as you're taught to do, Pineda goes with it the other way. That thing was sliced off the bat with much authority. So a man on with two outs for Davis Nadal, the left fielder. He's a left-handed batter, and he swings through the first pitch for strike one. Now some activity in the Skycar bullpen. A right-hander has stood up down there, and it's Josh White, whom we saw earlier this week. Pineda held at first by Montgomery. Not going as Nadal swings through a slider and falls behind. No balls and two strikes. Pineda has five stolen bases in six tries this year. An aggressive player always, whether he's at the plate, defensively, or running the bases. He looks over to Brooks Conrad in the third base coach's box, who signals the signs. 0-2 at the plate, got him looking. Strike three on a fastball, top of the zone. Eight strikeouts in five innings for Alex Williams, but he's currently in line for the loss. The only blemish, an RBI double in the second by Jared Dickey, and that remains the difference today. Halfway through this series finale, bottom of the fifth next, 1-0 Quad Cities. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
City starter Shane Panzini is back out there to start the bottom of the fifth inning. His team up 1-0. First pitch to Beloit's Carlos Santiago. Fouled out of play on the left side. He gets a bit of a do-over. He was at the plate with two outs and a man at first in the fourth inning. But Josh Zamora was picked off by Panzini. A one. Fastball up and away. Shane is trying to work a five-inning start for the first time since August 24th when he did so for the Columbia Fireflies. 1-1. Popped up again over the left side. 1-2. Panzini's got four strikeouts today. His season high five, which he picked up in his start against Peoria back on April 21st of this year. But he's put together the best of both worlds with the strikeouts and the zeros today. 1-2. Got him swinging on the fastball. Shane Panzini starts off the inning with a strikeout for the third straight frame. And there's already one down for Torin Montgomery. Not only is Panzini getting the zeros, but he's doing it quickly. He's just at 51 pitches. Montgomery takes high. We've kind of been waiting for one of these games from Shane Panzini. He put together a very solid season with single-A Columbia last year. Montgomery fouls it over the first base dugout, 1-1. But he never really had his signature moment in QC last year because he only made two appearances for the Bandits and struggled in both. The pitch. That's high, 2-1. This year, he's been very solid for Quad Cities. He got off to a bumpy start in his first outing of the year against West Michigan, but since then, he's been locked in. The pitch. Wave and a miss. More high heat. 2-2. But now he's clearly looking more comfortable here in high A and has put it all together in this Sunday matchup. Of course, his outing's still not over yet, but to this point, it's been pretty ideal. He has allowed just one hit and worked around his three walks with five strikeouts. 2-2 to Montgomery. He's got another! Strike three on a fastball. Montgomery down looking. Second time through the order, and Panzini is only getting stronger. 95 with the four-seamer. He's been efficient. He's been effective. And the velo is staying put. Now Cam Barstead, the catcher. First pitch. Called strike, lower inside corner. A borderline pitch, but Panzini's most certainly earned that call. A one. He spikes that one in the dirt. That right-hander for the Sky Carp, Josh Field, still throwing in their bullpen. Safe to say he'll take over in the top half of the sixth. Nobody throwing for Quad Cities. Out of the wind, 1-1. Ground ball foul. Right over towards the first base coach for Beloit. Somebody wearing the number 2, which is not a number that any of the coaches or players wear. So it could be a Rover who's in town this week. Marlins have had a lot of player development staff in Beloit throughout this series. 1-2. Two-hopper to second. It's stabbed by Dickerson. He bobbles, throws to first, and just in time beats Barstad. Another 1-2-3 inning for Shane Panzini. He's given up one hit and three walks with six strikeouts in five scoreless innings. Panzini putting together his trademark Bandits performance so far. We go to the sixth. Quad City still clinging to that 1-0 lead.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Josh White just pitched for Beloit on Thursday, but he'll ask to go at least another inning today in the finale. His Sky Carp trailed the Bandits 1-0 as we open the sixth. And White opens his day with a called strike to Carson Rockefort. He gets the top third of the Bandits order. Two lefties, and then the right-handed hitting Trevor Werner. 1-1. Bit outside. 1-1. On the mound for Quad Cities, Brooks Conrad has a need to go to the bullpen because Shane Panzini's been terrific. 5 scoreless innings plus 6 strikeouts to match his season high. 1-1 to Rocco. Fouled over the left side. 1-2. White's put together a really good start to his 2024 campaign. He's worked as both a starter and a reliever for the Sky Carp, posting a 2.53 ERA in just under 11 innings. Rocco 0-2 to start the ball game. White runs down the clock, now deals, and gets Rockefeller chasing a breaking ball in the dirt. That is strike 3 and the first out in the 6th inning. So that's the 9th time the Bandits have gone down on strikes today. That's one thing that's kind of been swept under the rug by Beloit's lack of offense as a team. Quad Cities has K'd many a time, including 8 by the hand of Alex Williams, the Sky Carp starter. We'll give you his final line in just a moment as Carter Jensen's in the box, and he'll take ball 1 in the dirt. Williams goes 5 innings, allowing 1 run earned on 5 hits, no walks, and 8 strikeouts. I mean, you'll take that 10 times out of 10 if you're Billy Gardner Jr. 1-0 pitch. Fastball a bit. No, that's a strike at the top of the zone. And it's 1-1 on Jensen. I myself thought it was a bit high, but Brandon Schmidt's opinion, all that matters. White threw the fastball across at 95. Now he deals and drops the changeup low. 2-1. White is 23 years old from Walnut Creek, California. A 5th-round pick out of Cal in 2022. Same alma mater as Bandits starter Steven Zoback. 2-1 to Jensen. Up and away. 3 balls, 1 strike. And Jensen, strikeout, and his 3rd double of the series back in the 4th. 3-1. Swing and a miss. He was going for a double, if not the homer there. Came up empty on the fastball, and the count goes full, 3-2. White looking for back-to-back strikeouts to start his afternoon. 3-2 to Carter Jensen. Fastball just below the knees. It's ball 4. Jensen, he knew it all the way. He started taking off the shin protector even before Schmidt could signal ball 4. So another walk for Carter Jensen. What do you know? He's up to 25 to lead the team this year. And now Trevor Werner will look to do something with it. 1 out on the board. Right on right. White pitches from the extreme first base side of the rubber and pours the fastball right down the pipe. 0-1. Werner 0-2 in the 3 spot today. Williams struck him out looking his last time up in the 4th. 0-1. Low and outside. 1-1. Before the last inning break, I was alluding to a packed promotional schedule at Modern Woodman Park next week. Figured, while we have some time during this game, can let you know what you're in store for in terms of giveaways and daily deals. If you'd like to look at this full list for yourself, as always, just go to riverbandits.com and click on the promotions tab, and you can break it down day by day. And there's even a link there to buy tickets to the game you like most. Man at first, 1-0. 1-1 to Werner is up and in around the hands. He leans out of the way. Everything gets started this Tuesday on a $2 Tuesday. $2 Tuesday, that's $2 general admission tickets, $2 sodas, and $2 hot dogs, sponsored by Pepsi of Davenport. It will also be the first day in which the rides are open, as time is called by Brandon Schmidt. Catcher Cam Barstad exchanges a quick word with White. It'll also be the 2nd pennant giveaway of the year. There's a huge Pepsi pennant collection that's running throughout the entire summer. And if you want to get them all, well, you need to be there on Tuesday. Werner back in the box, 2-1. Wave and a miss. Ugly hack and a changeup, 2-2. On Wednesday, it is Copa Wednesday. Los Panditos del Rio will take the field. And thanks to Group O, those newly opened rides will be free, at least some of them. You can ride the Ferris wheel and the carousel for free, courtesy of our friends at Group O. Throw to first base. Back with a dive is Jensen. That was about a 25% toss over from White, who was more throwing over to get a new set of signs from Barstad. Bandits up 1-0 in the top of the sixth, and that scored since the second inning. 2-2. High fly, pretty deep to right, but it's going to stay in the ballpark. Playable for DeLeo. He makes the catch. Werner's retired for the second out. In addition to the freewheeling carousel rides on Wednesday, there are $1 Keystone Light cans, thanks to Keystone Light. So have some cheap beer, ride the Ferris wheel, and take in a baseball game. Not a bad way to spend a Wednesday, if you ask me. Thursday, of course, Thursday, including $2 domestic beer drafts, sponsored by Busch Light. It's also Bark in the Park, so bring your furry friend. I don't believe they're allowed to partake in Thursday, but why would you want to share with them anyways? Brett Squires at the box, man at first, two outs. Squires with two singles already today. First pitch from White, swung at and missed, strike one. Also stopped by the ballpark on Thursday to get the Bandits' second pint glass giveaway of the year, courtesy of Palm Springs Bottled Water. And Bark in the Park, courtesy of Good Old Boys Tree Service. White paused at the chest. 0-1. Squires sends it foul over the left side. No balls, two strikes. Both of Squires' singles today have come with two strikes. It's almost like he's been more comfortable in that count than any. Had a two-strike, two-run homer in the game yesterday. If I'm a pitcher, I almost don't want Squires to end up in a two-strike count. White deals. Swing and a miss. This time Squires is retired. That was a really good curveball from the former Cal product. So the Bandits strand the one-out walk for Carter Jensen, but they still lead 1-0. Shane Panzini going back out for the bottom of the sixth. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Shane Panzini is looking to complete his first six-inning start as River Bandit. He gets Emmanuel Marinez to begin the bottom of the sixth inning and gets a swing and a miss for an early strike one. Second toss, bounced right back to him. Panzo plays the high hop, flips underhand to first. Two pitches, one out in the home half of the sixth. That is now five in a row retired for Panzini, who has six strikeouts and has only given up one hit. That was back in the second inning. He has also issued a couple of walks, but nothing else in terms of significant power. So one out, nobody on for Chase Luttrell. He takes a called strike with a fastball. Continuing through what's coming up at Modern Woodman Park next week. We're at Thursday, or rather Friday on the calendar. A one. Curveball in there, strike two. Friday, of course, post-game fireworks courtesy of Smart Toyota. The Bandits put on one of the best post-game fireworks shows in the Midwest League, and that's coming from somebody who has seen a whole heck of a lot of fireworks shows in the Midwest League since 2021. So I highly recommend stopping by for that. 0-2 fouled into the screen. On Saturday, Red Hot Chicago brings you a Bandits Car Shade giveaway as one of the team's premium giveaways of the season. And then on Sunday, of course, as always, jam-packed with activities before, during, and after the game. Another 0-2 to Luttrell. Fastball fouled into the screen. Stop by early and get pregame player autographs, courtesy of the Quad City Times. Make sure you get your $2 bleacher tickets if you are an active or former military member. 0-2. Low and away. The Bandits will also be giving away a super soft t-shirt giveaway with a fantastic design courtesy of Narcity Clothing. 1-2. In the dirt. Breaking ball couldn't get him to chase. And then after the game, courtesy of Airgas, stick around for Kids Run the Bases. So get some autographs, get some cheap tickets, grab a t-shirt, and let the youngsters tire themselves out on the infield dirt at the end of the game. 2-2. Rocket, deep right field. Dickey turns, looks, it's gone. That one was out of here in a hurry. Chase Luttrell has now homered in back-to-back games, and he ties us up in the sixth. A two-strike homer after a seven-pitch battle. The first blemish for Shane Panzini today. This guy is some kind of hot right now. Why Luttrell is still hitting in the ninth spot is beyond me, but clearly it's working for him. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess. Here's Yidi Capé. He takes low and outside. So a 1-1 game in the bottom of the sixth inning. Little offense, just seven combined hits in the game. The Bandits have five. That was just the Sky Carps' second as Yidi takes low and outside. He walked to begin the bottom half of the first, but was removed on a double play and then popped up in shallow center in the third. Now he one-hops one on a line to short. Routine play for Dickerson. He tosses to first, and there are two gone. So a good bounce back for Panzo. Gives up the homer, but then rebounds with a quick out. That's the second home run allowed this year by Shane Panzini. Last year with Columbia, he gave up just eight in 90 and two-thirds innings before being called up. So two outs, bases vacant for Jacob Thompson, who, as he so often does, swings at the first pitch and fouls it over the left side of the confines. Thompson off to a tough start today. He grounded into a double play in the first and then had a three-pitch strikeout in the fourth. 0-1. That's high and outside. Once again, to check out that full promotional calendar and to get your tickets, head to riverbandits.com, and we'll see you next week in Davenport. 1-1. Chopper fell down the right field line. It's always nice to get home after a two-week road trip. South Bend and Beloit, both with terrific ballparks, terrific staff. Our stay has been great, but nothing beats the folks at Modern Woodman Park. Quad Cities with a right-hander starting to get loose in the bullpen. Shane Panzini, pitch count-wise, now at 75. 1-2 to Thompson. Fastball, got him, strike three. Seventh strikeout for Shane Panzini. He gives up the homer to Chase Luttrell, which ties the game. But that right there is the best start as a River Bandit for the young 22-year-old right-hander. One run in six innings. The Bandits' bats looking to give him some support in the seventh. We're tied at one on the Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
The score tied up at one. Quad City's bats have some work to do. They go to the top of the seventh with Dustin Dickerson leading it off against Josh White, who remains out there after throwing a scoreless top of the sixth inning. Shane Panzini likely done in his fourth start of the year, but boy, was it a good one. Dickerson 0 for 2 with a strikeout and a double play ball. He takes a breaking ball for strike one. Panzini has his first quality start of the season and the River Bandits fifth as a staff, and this is only the 27th game of the year. Here's the pitch up and inside. Panzini gives up one run in six innings on two hits, the solo homer from Latrell, the big one, three walks and a season high seven strikeouts. Here's the pitch, fouled into the screen, a fastball out of the hand of White. 1-2. When tied after six innings this year, Quad Cities is 4-1. They have not been in one of these situations in a while, however. 1-2 pitch, slider taken low. Good leave by Dickerson. It's him, Dickey, and Hernandez due up. Bandits continuing to warm a right-hander up in their bullpen. The pitch. Line drive, left center field. It lands for a base hit. Santiago cuts it off in the alley, and Dickerson has himself a leadoff poke. That was as smooth of a swing on a fastball as you'll see. Dickerson's nice short approach lines that one into left field. There's a man on in front of Jared Dickey. Never a bad idea. Jared is the reason the Bandits have a run. He doubled in Brett Squires back in the second inning. Bounced out to second his last time up in the fifth. Double play depth for the Skycarp infield as Dickey slashes one into the screen. A foul ball, strike one. Dickerson will run. He is swiped four bags and five tries this year. He's being held by Montgomery. 0-1. Not going. This one chopped on the ground over the mound. Shortstop Zamora gloves and gets the only play he's got. Dickey out at first base, 6-3. And Dickerson into scoring position. Now Dickey was fortunate that we're playing on a turf surface here at ABC Supply Stadium, because if that was natural grass, there's no way that ball would have bounced over the pitcher. But he'll take it. Basically a swinging bunt to move a man up 90 feet. So here's Omar Hernandez, 0 for 2 so far. Right on right against White. The first pitch is a wave and a miss. a half-hearted swing on a breaking ball. Omar, 22 years old from La Habana, Cuba. Spent most of last year in single-A Columbia, but closed out the year in double-A Northwest Arkansas as a backup catcher. A one. Check swing. Pitch low and away. He did not go, according to Glenn Meyerhofer, on the appeal. Bandits did not score against White on Thursday, but he did issue three walks in one inning. One walk and a hit allowed by him today. Dickerson bouncing at second. 1-1 fouled over the first base dugout. One ball, two strikes. A good crowd on hand for a Sunday afternoon contest at ABC Supply Stadium. Kyle Kirchville with you on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Temperatures in the mid-60s, very little wind, and a nice conclusion to what's been a good River Bandits road trip. 1-2. Again, popped foul over the right side. Quad Cities trying to finish off the week 7-5. We most certainly will take that over a two-week road trip. The Bandits on the road this year are 10-7. Anytime you can have a near 500 record on the road, you call it a good stretch, but the Bandits are over 500 through their first 17 games. 1-2. In the dirt, knocked down by Barstad. Dickerson holds up. At home, Quad Cities is 7-2. Win percentage-wise, they have the second-best home record in the Midwest League, second only to the Sky Carp, who yesterday suffered just their third home loss of the year in 14 games here at ABC Supply Stadium. They're 11-3, but just 3-8 on the road. Another 2-2 to Omar. Line drive, right field, slices foul. Good two-strike swing from Hernandez. White's just living on the outside edge against him, and Omar's working himself deeper into the count, hoping to get one a little more center cut. Sky Carp have got another right-hander up as White has eclipsed the 30-pitch mark. Dickerson, who led off the inning with a single, still at second base. Another 2-2, chopped on the ground, weakly up the middle. Cape gloves, he looks to third, but he's got no out there. And time is called. They're saying that there's catcher interference. How about that? So Dickerson's going to have to go back to second base, but Omar Hernandez gets first. So Barstad stuck the glove out a bit too far. And prolonging that at bat as he did does, in fact, pay off for Hernandez. As the first catcher interference call we've seen this year. So a tip of the cap to Hernandez for just keeping that at bat going. I guess, in a way, forcing the issue. An important situation here for the Bandits. The game is tied at one. It's the top of the seventh. And there are runners at first and second with one out for Jack Pineda. First pitch. That slider was taken outside for ball one. Now, Pineda struck out swinging in the third, but then took the first pitch he saw from Williams in the fifth and lined it into left field for a single. White delivers. Fastball just low. Close, but no cigar. Trying to make out who the man in the Bandits bullpen is. With the binoculars, my best guess is Chase Wallace. There are not too many right-handers down there, so my odds increase from playing this guessing game. 2-0. Swing and a miss. Pineda chased out of the zone. Maybe a bit overly aggressive for the Baylor Bear. He asks for time. The reason why it's so hard to make out the pitchers here at ABC Supply Stadium is the bullpens are like Major League style. They're in the outfield behind a fence, and I'm looking through a chain-link fence, which is like 400 feet away. 2-1. Gets away from Barstad. Pitch was low and in. It rolls back to the screen, and both Dickerson and Hernandez will move up on a wild pitch. Some self-inflicted wounds for Beloit here in the seventh inning. And with the way this one's going, who knows how many better chances Quad Cities will get. Pineda just trying to put something in play here. He's in the right count, 3-1. Sky Carp have brought the infield in, and the Bandits are threatening. The pitch. Low and outside, he walked him. That is ball four. Pineda reaches for the second time in the game. And if you're Billy Gardner Jr., that's probably not the worst thing in the world. They will not make a pitching change, at least I would assume, as there is a man going out to the hill from the dugout, but it's Jason Erickson, the pitching coach. So he brings in the whole infield to talk over strategy, except the second baseman, Yidi Capay, who is still standing at second, perhaps unaware of the fact that everybody else is over there. It's a quick conversation, though. Erickson exchanges just a few words and now jogs back into that first base dugout. Davies Nadal will try to give the Bandits the lead. He ensured the advantage in the game yesterday with a solo shot in the top of the ninth. He's looking for a little more clutch of a knock here. Bases loaded, one out, game tied. Nadal v. White. Right-handed hurler deals, and Davies swings through a changeup for strike one. Quad Cities has not had very many opportunities with the bases loaded this year. But in their few opportunities, the Bandits are batting .286, a one. Swing and a miss. He chased a curveball in the dirt. 0-2. Davies will use his time. The Bandits' .286 average with the bases loaded is about middle in the pack in the league, but their OPS is only .666. So they're either walking or picking up singles more often than not with the bases juiced. That'll work here. 0-2 to Nadal. Fastball high, one ball, two strikes. Now with Davies' speed, anything on the ground is not a surefire double play. White slowly comes set, now deals. Got him swinging. Strike three on a fastball above the letters, and that was a huge K for Josh White. His third of the ball game puts the second out on the board. And now it will take some two-out offense for Carson Rockefort. But looks like the Sky Carp are going to send another person out to the hill. It's the defensive coach, Angel Espada. And he's going to be the one to make the pitching change. Billy Gardner Jr. hanging out in that first base dugout. I guess he's taking the finale off. Sky Carp will move to the bullpen. A right-hander to replace a right-hander. Bandits still threatening. They've got them loaded with two outs. The score still tied at one on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Ignacio Feliz will look to be the last piece of the escapery for Beloit here in the seventh inning. The Bandits have loaded them up with two outs. They had them loaded with one out, but Davies Nadal was struck out by Josh White, his last act before hitting the showers. Feliz facing the leadoff man for the Bandits, the center fielder Carson Rockefort, who's 0-for-3 with a couple of strikeouts today. Phillies out of the stretch. First pitch in the dirt. It gets away from Barstad. Here comes Dickerson. No throw. He's safe. New pitcher, new run for the Bandits. It's 2-1 on a wild pitch. That is, I'm sure, not how Ignacio wanted to start this ball game. The first pitch he throws to Cam Barstad is in the dirt inside, and even with a backhanded attempt, he couldn't get to it. Dickerson scores from third. Hernandez moves to third, and Pineda's at second base. 1-0 pitch to Rockefort. That time finds the glove, and it finds the zone. Fastball for a called strike one. Rockefort has a proclivity to come through in these sorts of clutch situations despite a low batting average for him overall this year. He swings away and comes up empty. It's 1-2. Feliz pitching for the second time in this series. Last we saw him was on Wednesday, and he was really good. 2 scoreless innings, 1 walk, no hits, and 3 strikeouts. A 4.35 ERA for him on the year through now 7 appearances. Feliz uses a timeout. He steps off the back of the slab, walks down to the end of the hill, and then back up top. Rockefort with 12 RBIs as the leadoff man. 1-2. Popped up left side, pushing towards the seats. Marinez chases over and watches it bounce into the third row. Not too often do you see your leadoff hitter tied for second on the team and runs batted in. But when you've got that power that Rockefort does, you can generate some of your own RBIs with homers. But this time he's got ducks on the pond for him. Another 1-2. Foul ball held on to by Barstad. Swinging strike 3 to end the inning. So Feliz allows an inherited run to score on a wild pitch. The Bandits take a 2-1 lead, but they do strand 2 runners in scoring position. Time to stretch it out at ABC Supply Stadium. The Bandits back in front, 2-1.
There's no better way to catch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Women Park's 5 unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options, visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Quad City scores a run on a wild pitch to retake the lead. It's 2-1 Bandits as we start the bottom of the 7th inning. The new pitcher is Chase Wallace. The QC right-hander throws in strike 1 to Josh Zamora. 3-4-5 due up for the Sky Carp, beginning with Zamora. To Leo on deck, the switch hitting Santiago in the hole. 0-1. Big curveball taken inside. 1-1. Wallace's been one of Brooks Conrad's most effective relievers this year. He has a 1.17 ERA, giving up just 1 earned run in his first 7 2/3 innings this year. 1-1, missed outside. 2 balls, 1 strike. He pitched earlier this week and was terrific on Tuesday. Matched his season high with two scoreless innings. He hit a batter and walked a batter, but struck out a season high 4. 2-1, popped in the air left side. In foul ground goes Warner near that short porch into the corner of that concave square, and he makes the catch. I don't really know what to call that area. It's just the little nook in between the Coors Light chill zone and the tarp. And it was honestly pretty impressive that Zamora could place the baseball there. But even more impressive for Wallace because he gets his first out. That's now 8 innings of one-run ball to start the year for the former Volunteer. So one out, nobody on for Jake DeLeo. First pitch, slider in there for strike one. Chase, an undrafted free agent signed by the Royals in 2020. The pitch, swing and a miss. It is 0-2 on DeLeo. Jake a walk in the second, but he was picked off at first by Shane Panzini. The Bandit starter picked off 2 runners today. Then he flew out to right field in the fourth. 0-2, up and in with the fastball. Wallace last year made 21 appearances in Columbia, but then came up for his final 6 appearances in Quad Cities. He's now spent parts of 3 years with the Bandits. 1-2, ground ball sharply hit. It's off the glove of Dickerson into left field. Took a bit of a high hop at the end, but that's going to be an E6. DeLeo's safe at first base. First air of the ball game for Quad Cities. Their 17th of the season. And the team leading 4th for Dickerson, who of course is going to get the most opportunities playing shortstop as often as he does. So a man on and one out for Carlos Santiago. Santiago 0-2 with a pair of strikeouts. First pitch fouled just over the screen and right over the roof of the ballpark for strike one. Bandits up 2-1 in the bottom of the 7th, needing a win today to split this 6-game series. Second offering to Santiago. Wallace fires, and the slider is a called strike right on the lower outside corner. 0-2. Wallace now with 10 pitches, 7 strikes. If he follows the mold set by Shane Panzini, he could work multiple innings today. Panzini's super efficient, just 76 pitches to get through 6 innings of one-run ball. 0-2, just fouled back. Strikeouts piling up for Santiago. He's got 22 in 17 games this year. But he does have 3 homers. That's why you put him in the 5 spot and you deal with the strikeouts because he'll make up for it elsewhere. Another 2-strike toss. Bouncing ball, smothered at first by Squires. He steps on the bag for one, then throws to second errantly. It's over the head of Dickerson, but backed up by Nadal. And DeLeo is safe. So no error on Squires because you can't assume double play. Dickerson would have needed to get a tag down anyways. So good job by Squires to at least get the one out, but the tying run is in scoring position for Torin Montgomery. Montgomery 1-for-2, a single and a strikeout. A right-on-right matchup for Chase Wallace. The pitch. Bouncer to third. Werner's got it to his left. Sets the feet. Fires to first. Inning over. Chase Wallace picks up the defense in the bottom of the 7th inning. Another scoreless frame for the right-hander. We go to the 8th. The Bandits still on top. 2-1 on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
This summer, we're going from minor league baseball to major fun. Whether you're just stopping by or looking for that Grand Slam getaway, Wyndham rewards everyone. Start earning points on your next qualified by Wyndham hotel stay and redeem them for minor league baseball tickets and experiences all summer long. Not a Wyndham Rewards member? Join for free at WyndhamRewards.com. Restrictions apply. Visit WyndhamRewards.com for more details.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can band it together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Quad City's arms have done a tremendous job in the ball game today. Beloit has been held to just one run on two hits, and as a result, Quad City's remains on top as we start the eighth inning. Kyle Kirchville with you at ABC Supply Stadium. Great to have you along with us. Bandits 6 outs away from their third win of the week and their 18th overall as they try to split this six contest series. They'll need some insurance. And they've got the right guys up for it in this inning. 2-3-4 to face Ignacio Feliz, starting with the left-handed swing in Carter Jensen. Right-hander's first pitch, low and in, ball one. Feliz came on with two outs, and the bases loaded in the Bandits' half of the seventh inning. Facing Carson Rockefort, the first pitch he threw was wild, and it allowed Dickerson to score from third and give the Bandits their lead back. 1-0 changeup is low, two balls, no strikes on Carter. Jensen with a very Jensen-like game. 1-for-2 with a double and a walk. 2-0. That's low. 3-0. Well, if anyone's going to be patient and walk his way on, it's Jensen. But more often than not this season, he has swung away 3-0. Let's see if he can smash into one here. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Fastball, top of the zone. Jensen just gets that green light. You can almost bank on him swinging. 3-1. That's the walk, ball four. So Jensen ends up with the walk either way. And he once again is tied for the league lead. 26 in 27 games for Carter Jensen. Impressive stuff. So a man on with nobody out for Trevor Werner. Like I said, the Bandits could use some insurance here, and they got that yesterday. They scored four runs in the last two innings to win the game by 4-9-5. Throw to first base, back with a dive, Jensen. He kind of slid on his knees, but still got there safely. The final line for Josh White, Felice's predecessor, an inning and two-thirds of relief thrown, one run earned, on a hit, two walks, and three strikeouts. The pitch. Inside, Trevor gets out of the way. The run tagged to him. Dickerson after he scored on Felice's wild pitch. So Felice inherits three base runners and one scores. Werner is 0-for-3 in the three spot today. The Royals' number 19 prospect. 1-0. Outside, two balls, no strikes. Let's get you filled in on the rest of the Midwest League action today. A couple of games have already gone final, both over in the Eastern Division. Felice, a peek over his shoulder, 2-0. Popped foul over the screen, a little bit out in front of a slider. The Lansing Lugnuts held on for an 8-7 win over the South Bend Cubs over at Jackson Field. And in Eastlake, Ohio, the Lake County Captains improved to 16-11. They beat the Fort Wayne Tin Caps 6-0. 2-1. Slashed into the screen again. A pretty good cut on a fastball that time, but double deuces couldn't square it up. I was mentioning earlier in the broadcast the Marlins' return in the Arias deal. Several of those guys played for Fort Wayne as recently as last year, including Jacob Marcy and Nathan Martorella, two guys the Bandits got to see at Modern Woodman Park last year. Time called by Werner. Both of those guys now top 15 prospects in the Marlins farm system. That's the reason why Torin Montgomery, the Skycar first baseman, has fallen out of MLB Pipeline's top 30 rankings. He was number 30, but Martorella and Marcy showed up, and he was kicked out. 2-2. Swing and a miss. Warner chased the fastball upstairs. That's the second K for Felice, and the first out in the top of the eighth inning. Nobody warming in the bullpen for the Bandits. Chase Wallace will come back out for the eighth. And then after that, you have to imagine the likes of Ben Sears, perhaps, who's kind of been the number two option among closers. Brandon Johnson pitched yesterday. So here's Brett Squires in the box, 2-for-3 with a pair of singles and a run scored. He'll take the first pitch outside. Squires with a stolen base in the second inning as well. Jensen still over at first. He's stolen 9 bags successfully in 10 tries. He's not going. 1-0 pitch, a slider, low and inside, 2-0. Gotta imagine the Skycarp will be a little bit cautious with Brett, given that he has reached base safely in seven of his last eight plate appearances. 2-0. Swing and a miss. Squires got a fastball in the upper outside corner. Took a good swing, but couldn't connect on it. 94 mile per hour heat from Ignacio. Right-hander is 24 years old from Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. Used to be part of the Cleveland and Baltimore organizations. 2-1. Swing and a miss again on the elevated heat. And it's 2-2. Squires just has not been able to catch up to that pitch. And Felice, to his credit, is putting it in a perfect spot. It is right on the edge of the outside portion of the zone and often elevated. Squires chokes up on the bat. One out, man at first. A throw to first, and Jensen's back with a dive. No tag for Montgomery. In the bottom of the eighth, the Skycarp will have the bottom third of the order due up. Barstad, Marinez, and Latrell. Quad City's trying to make sure the lead is greater than one before they take some swings. 2-2. Foul tip held on to. Jensen takes off for second on the delayed steal, and the throw is not in time. The tag couldn't get put down by Zamora. Wow. Close play, but Glenn Meyerhofer said that Jensen got a hand in there, and with Billy Gardner Jr. again not acting as the manager, if you will, today, the defensive coach, Angel Espada, on his way out there for Beloit. So Jensen gets a stolen base, number 10 on the year for the QC catcher, at least usually. Today he's the DH. But Squires is down swinging. All three outs for Felice have come via the strikeout today, and the Skycarp were maybe centimeters away from a strike him out, throw him out to end the inning. And taking a look at the replay, that is the right call. The throw may have gotten there sooner, but the tag was not put down on Jensen until his hand had already reached. So good call from Glenn Meyerhofer. So runner at second and two outs for Dustin Dickerson, who had a big clutch hit late in the game yesterday. Right on right. First pitch fastball is on the outside edge. Strike one. Dickerson started out the day 0-for-2 with a K and a double play ball, but then singled to lead off the seventh and eventually would score the go-ahead run on the Felice wild pitch. This is the first time he's faced the right-hander, though, today. 0-1. Brushed him off the plate inside. Quad City's up 2-1 in the top of the eighth inning. They have out-hit Beloit 6-2. They've got two doubles for their only extra base hits. Skycarp have the Latrell homer as their only run-producing swing. 1-1. At strike two, a little off speed, found the outer edge on Dickerson, who thought it was too far out. But the slider moves the count to a ball and two strikes. Dusty just trying to put something in play and force the Skycarp to make an out. Feliz looking for his fourth K. Slider comes home and misses outside. 2-2. The Bandits, when leading after seven innings this year, are a perfect 12-0. Trying to keep that going to wrap up the week in Beloit. Feliz comes home. That's high with the fastball. Full count. There is a lefty throwing in the bullpen for the Sky Carp. Feliz about to deal his 25th pitch. He sets at the chest. 3-2. Popped foul over the screen. Not sure how Dickerson got the bat on that one. That was up around the hands, and he somehow was able to get the bat there in time to stay alive. Evan Taylor is the Sky Carp warming up. Another 3-2. Outside, Dickerson walks. And that is the only way that Feliz has allowed base runners in his inning plus. Two free passes, and now both on the base paths with two outs for Jared Dickey. And that's going to send Jason Erickson out to the hill. While he does that, here's some of the other scores from around the Midwest League. As I mentioned, Lake County beat Fort Wayne at home. Lansing beat South Bend at home. But West Michigan just wrapped up a win against Dayton at Day Air Ballpark. Whitecaps beat the Dragons 8-6. Other games late in progress. Over in Wisconsin, the Loons are beating the Timber Rattlers 4-3 in the bottom of the eighth. If the Loons hang on to win and the Bandits hold on to win, Quad Cities will be in sole possession of first place in the Western Division with the Rattlers coming to town next week. And then in Cedar Rapids, the Colonels, who have been on a nice little string lately, lead the Peoria Chiefs 4-0 in the seventh. Back here at ABC Supply Stadium, the Bandits have two men on with two outs and Jared Dickey at the plate. Right on left, Felice's pitch is low for ball one. And Jared has the only RBI swing for QC today. He drove in Squires with the double in the second inning, tried to stretch it into a triple, but was thrown out on a terrific relay by the left side of the Sky Carp field. 1-0. Slider left up. Two balls, no strikes on Jared. Not only does Dickey have the eight extra base hits, including four homers, he's got 12 walks in 24 games and has displayed some quality date plate discipline in addition to the slugging capabilities. 2-0. Fastball called strike at the knees. 2-1. Bandits lead by a tally in the top of the eighth. Jensen at second base. Dickerson at first. Both walked. With Dickerson at the plate, Jensen stole second and was nearly gunned down by Barstad. Hitter's count for Jared, 2-1. Slider, well-timed, catches the lower outside corner for a called strike. Dickey's knees buckled. So deuces wild for Quad Cities in the eighth, perhaps their best run-scoring opportunity left in the game. Two on, two out, a 2-2 count to the right fielder. Feliz fires. Called strike three. A fastball at the bottom of the zone. And Ignacio Feliz has all four of his outs today with the K. He strands two walks and keeps Beloit's deficit at just one. Chase Wallace back out for the bottom of the eighth. He'll look to keep it that way. We'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits, it's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience at America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Welcome you back to ABC Supply Stadium in Beloit. The Bandits clinging to their 2-1 lead, unable to add to it despite a couple of opportunities in the top half. Barstad, Marinez, Luttrell, two righties and a lefty, due up to face Chase Wallace, the Quad Cities right-hander. First pitch to Barstad is swung at, fouled over the left side for strike one. For these three Skycarp hitters, only one has reached base, and it was Luttrell who launched the, at the time, game-tying homer in the sixth. Barstad 0 for 2 with a ground ball and a flyout as Wallace misses away from him, 1-1. Chase had Jake DeLeo reach with one out on an air in the last inning, but worked around it with a couple of ground balls. The pitch, high and away, 2-1. Skycarp with just two hits in the ball game, and one of them just happens to be a homer. The pitch, swing and a miss. Good fastball from Wallace. It evens the count back at twos. We'll also get you some updates on the Kansas City Royals Farm System scoreboard. A little bit of rain impacting things today, it seems. 2-2. Check swing foul. That one off the netting just above the Bandits dugout and then down into the third base coach's box. Looks like Columbia and Carolina unable to get games in today. And I say games plural. 2-2. Just inside with a fastball. The Mudcats and Fireflies had their game yesterday suspended, I believe, in the third inning. It looks like they were able to get the fourth in today, but that's it. And you're stuck at the top of the fifth with the Fireflies up 1-0. 3-2. That ball is hammered high in the air, right center field, but playable. Carson Rockefort calls off Dickey and makes the catch for out number one. Boy, Barstad, I think, just got under that one. He hit it extremely hard, but the launch angle not precise. So one out, nobody on for Emanuel Marinez. Beloit third baseman is 0 for 2 with a strikeout and a bouncer back to Panzini in the sixth inning. Wallace's first pitch. Slider, check swing. He did not go. It's ball one. So Columbia and Carolina can't finish their suspended game. And then in the they were also scheduled to play a doubleheader effectively after the suspended game, which was going to be a full nine. They were going to play a seven-inning contest, but obviously that got rained out as well. Hold on now. Looks like Brandon Schmidt and Glenn Meyerhofer, the umpires, have just decided that it was a foul ball off the bat of Marinez, and they change it. Beloit, what's an explanation? Angel Espada talking over with Schmidt, and Schmidt is kind of motioning to his chest, saying, "This is my bad. I messed up the call." And Espada now seems to understand that Schmidt said, "Hey, that's my bad. I just missed it." Glenn Meyerhofer did see that there was contact, so it is a strike. An 0-1 count on Marinez. Second pitch, swing and a miss on the slider. Kudos to Brandon Schmidt for his honesty, and kudos to that third base dugout. Either Derek Lewis or Brooks Conrad said, "Hey, I think that was a foul ball. Ask Glenn Meyerhofer." And sure enough, Glenn said, "Yep, there was contact." Wallace in the driver's seat looking for his first K. 0-2 to Marinez. Low and outside with a changeup. So Columbia doesn't get any games in today. The AA Northwest Arkansas Naturals also will not play. They were postponed at Arvest Ballpark. 1-2. Chopper to third base. Three hops for Werner. He gloves waist high. Uncorks one to first. And it's in time for the second out. Marinez retired for the third time in the game. And now Chase Wallace will try to get Chase Luttrell. He has reached safely and hit a couple of homers in now six of his last seven plate appearances. And Brooks Conrad decides that Wallace is not the guy he wants to face him. So he will make a move to the bullpen. And as I whip out the binoculars, it looks like it's Ben Sears who's going to come on for what right now looks to be a four-out save. So Wallace gets the job done. He goes an inning and two-thirds scoreless, no hits, no walks, no strikeouts. He'll get some high fives in that third base dugout. Now Ben Sears takes over with two outs in the bottom of the eighth. Bandits up 2-1. We're paused for a pitching change on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
There is a weekend in July where the baseball world revolves around a village in upstate New York. Hall of Fame Induction Weekend in Cooperstown is an unforgettable experience full of family-friendly activities and memorable moments. Make your plans today for July 19th through the 22nd for the induction of Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, Jim Leland, and Joe Maurer, the class of 2024. Visit baseballhall.org today for the entire schedule. See you in Cooperstown.
Searching for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located behind Section 7 inside the ballpark, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Sears comes on for the final out in the bottom of the eighth. Base is empty, two gone for Chase Luttrell, who takes outside for ball one. Sears replacing Chase Wallace, who did his job today in relief of Shane Panzini. An inning and two-thirds perfect. Here's the 1-0. Wave and a miss. Fastball towards the top of the zone. Today marks the ninth appearance of the season for Sears, and he has given up just one earned run in his first 11 innings. 1-1. Slider left outside. That run he gave up was in his second outing of the year on April 12th against West Michigan. Since then, he has rattled off nine consecutive scoreless innings. 2-1 pitch to Luttrell. Chopper to first, but foul. It is behind the first base coach's box and down into the corner. And it looks like Brett Squires is going to go pick it up. He's already got some people asking for the ball in the seats, and he throws it towards him with a point. Luttrell, the only offense, pretty much, for the Sky Carp today. The team has one run on two hits, and he homered in the sixth. The only other hit, a single for Montgomery in the second. 2-2. Got him swinging, strike three. Ben Sears gets Luttrell to chase up the ladder, and the hottest Sky Carp hitter is down in the eighth. To the ninth we go at ABC Supply Stadium. One more chance for the Bandits to add to their 2-1 lead. We'll be right back on the River Bandits Baseball Network. There's no better way to watch the River Bandits than from one of Modern Woodman Park's five unique group areas. Whether you're celebrating a birthday, throwing a company picnic, or just taking the whole family out for a ball game, the River Bandits have the perfect spot for your team. To learn more about pricing, availability, and food and beverage options,
visit riverbandits.com or call 563-324-3000.
Summer is here, and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Ninth inning of action at ABC Supply Stadium, Quad Cities and Beloit, perhaps in their final inning of baseball this week. The Marlins and Royals affiliate battling things out. The Sky Carp need a comeback win if they are to win this series. The Bandits need to hold on to a 2-1 advantage to split the set. Evan Taylor is the new pitcher for Beloit. He starts the ninth against Omar Hernandez. And the Bandits catcher takes a fastball for strike one. Taylor takes over for Ignacio Feliz, who is really good outside of just a couple of walks. All four of his outs in his inning in the third came via the K. 0-1. Wave and a miss. Good curveball from Taylor. 0-2. The Bandits walked twice against him in the eighth, putting a couple of insurance runs out there. But Taylor was able to strike out Werner, Squires, and Dickey to eliminate any kind of threat. Taylor's 0-2. Crushed in the air, left field. Santiago's going to have room in front of the warning track. He puts on the brakes and hauls it in for the out. Really good swing from Omar Hernandez, but just a touch on top of it, and there's one down. Taylor, former teammates with former River Bandit Caden Wallace over in Arkansas this season. Marks his first with High A Beloit, and he's off to a very good start in the Midwest League. A 1-0 record with a 2.79 ERA. Now working left on left against Jack Pineda. First toss is a big sweeping slider that finds the bottom portion of the zone for strike one. We saw Taylor back on Tuesday, or I beg your pardon, on Wednesday. His 0-1 to Jack. Went slider again, but that one too low. In game two of the series, he picked up his second save of the year, locking down a 6-5 Sky Carp win. Pitched a scoreless ninth, worked around one hit with no walks, and struck out two. 1-1 to Pineda. Broken bat blooper, shallow left, charging Santiago into a slide. Did he catch it? Yes, he did. Jack Pineda standing at second base, hoping that Glenn Meyerhofer will change his mind, but he is not. That's a really nice catch from Santiago that takes away what would have been the second knock of the game for Quad City's second baseman. So two outs for Taylor, and now he'll go up against the Bandits' nine hitter, Davis Nadal, who's trying to snap an 0-for-3 with three strikeouts. Third baseman, Marinez playing in. And understandably so, Nadal shows bunt at the first pitch, but pulls back. It's inside. And Taylor with 10 strikeouts and 9 2/3 entering play. He'd only walked three batters, but he'd given up 11 hits. Nadal against Squares. He tries to drag it down the line. It's dragged, picked up by the pitcher Taylor, and he's got no play. Davis Nadal beats out a two-out bunt single. And you know what? When you're 0-for-3 with three strikeouts, why not? It'll continue the inning. Brooks Conrad just took out his lineup or some sheet of paper over on the third base side and mark something down, which I'm sure is only going to be positive feedback for Dave East. Now Taylor facing Carson Rockefeller, the Bandits' leadoff man. He starts him with a slider for strike one. It's another left-on-left matchup. Rockefeller has struggled today. He's 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts, but perhaps like Nadal, he can turn it around here in the ninth. A couple of looks to first for the southpaw. Now he throws in that direction, and Dave East is back standing up. Taylor's a big guy out there. 24-year-old from Florence, Alabama, stands at 6'4", 250 pounds. A ninth-round pick out of Fayetteville back in 2022. Here's the pitch. Inside and off the glove of Barstead. Nadal's going to move up to second base as Cam retrieves it near the screen. And we saw the Bandits use the wild pitch to their advantage earlier in the game. Davies, with his speed, now makes things a little more interesting. The Bandits have a 2-1 lead in the top of the ninth, but you never want just a one-run lead going into the final frame. Rockefeller, as I was mentioning earlier, has had some big hits for Quad Cities late in games this year. 1-1. That one hits Rockefeller. Last pitch nearly hit him and went to the screen. Now this one does catch Carson, and he'll go down to first base. Well, that is a bad thing for Taylor for a number of reasons, none the least of which being you've prolonged the inning for Carter Jensen. Catcher Cam Barstad issues some signs, even though there are two outs, but he was perhaps informing of how they'll adjust with the shift. I'm not sure. Either way, another opportunity for Quad Cities, who has stranded 7 men on base, at least one in their last 5 innings. Guys, it's second and first here with 2 outs for Jensen. Left on left, first pitch slider, low and away. For Taylor, the wild pitch and the hit batsman, his first this year. And they come in the same plate appearance. 1-0. Hardy hack, but a whiff from Jensen out in front of the slider. Carter is 1-for-2 with a double, a pair of walks, and a stolen base. He has lifted his OPS on the year to 975, and he is tied for the team lead with 13 driven in. 1-1. Down and away with the slider, 2-1. Nobody throwing in either bullpen. This is Taylor's frame to work out of. And in the bottom of the ninth, it'll be Ben Sears' save to collect. Taylor looks back to Nadal a couple of times. 2-1. Down and outside. Another wayward slider, and it's 3-1. On deck, the right-handed hitting Trevor Werner. Jensen ready to go. Pitch clock down to 5. Taylor deals, and Carter swings through a fastball. That's strike 2. So now both runners on the move with a full count and 2 outs. Both Nadal and Rockefeller can move. So anything down the lines or into the alleys would most certainly clear the bases. Bandits ahead 2-1 in the top of the ninth and looking to tack on further. Taylor with a deep breath pauses at the belt. The payoff pitch. Called strike 3 on the slider. Right on the outside edge. That was a huge strikeout for the former Razorback. So once again, Quad City strands a pair of base runners. That is their ninth left to board today. And they will lean on Ben Sears, who tries to slam the door in the bottom of the ninth inning. 2-1 Quad Cities, the conclusion of this series finale next on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Summer is here, and River Bandits Baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family-friendly fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Looking for the latest River Bandits merchandise? Stop by Rascal's Den. Located inside the ballpark behind Section 7, the River Bandits official team store has you covered from head to toe. Whether it's your favorite on-field hat, game-used merchandise, or the latest Banditos threads, you'll be dressed like a bandit in no time. Shop in-store at Modern Woodman Park or online at riverbandits.milbstore.com.
Even though both Columbia and Northwest Arkansas did not play today, Quad Cities is trying to join the AAA Storm Chasers as full-season affiliate winners today. Chasers held on for a 3-2 win over the iCubs in Des Moines. Chasers right near the top of the International League. They are 19-11. The Bandits are tied with Great Lakes and Wisconsin for the best record in the Midwest League. It's 17-9. Trying to get their 18th win here in the ninth at ABC Supply Stadium. Ben Sears protecting a 2-1 lead. He starts off the inning against Yidi Cafe and misses low for ball one. The Bandits' arms have been in control today. They've given up just one run on two hits, and Beloit has never brought more than four batters to the plate in any inning as Cafe lines one past Dickerson into left field. It stops in the shallow turf. Nadal quickly hustles to it, and Cafe, who represents the game-tying run, stops at first base. Sears left. I'm not sure what that was. On the video board, it says it was 90 miles per hour, but it didn't look like a fastball. Whatever it was, it hung up center cut, and Cafe gets his first hit of the game at a key time. So man at first, nobody out for Jake Thompson, who takes the first pitch, a rare occurrence for him. And it was the right call. It was outside for ball one. Thompson 0 for 3 with two strikeouts and a double play ball. Sears could use one of those here. 1-0. Low and outside. Two balls, no strikes. Sears has been nails for Quad Cities. He's given up just one run in 11 innings this year. He came on for the final out in the eighth inning and faced the hottest sky card batter, Chase Luttrell, and struck him out. 2-0. Low and away with a changeup. Three balls, no strikes. Sears has not allowed multiple base runners to reach since April 18th. That was four appearances ago. Cafe with good speed at first. The 3-0 fastball catches the lower outside corner. A called strike at 93. Crowd thought that one was outside. And now Brandon Schmidt is telling the first base dugout to keep quiet. They did not like that call. Sears gets a lot of two-seam action on that fastball, so the pitch moves down and away from left-handed batters. 3-1. Swing and a miss. Same pitch, same spot, and the count goes full. Sears trying to work all the way back against Jake Thompson, who has been arguably the Sky Carp's best hitter to start the year. He came into the ball game yesterday with a 10-game hit streak, and even though he reached twice, the hit streak ended. Today, an 11-game on-base streak in jeopardy. Cafe at first, one-run game. Payoff pitch. Bouncer towards second. It's snagged by Pineda, who spins and awkwardly throws to first, but does get the out. Cafe moves up to second base. Boy, Pineda, he had a look at second and thought about making a Herculean effort on the throw, but smartly, he takes the surefire out. So for Beloit, that puts a man in scoring position for just the second time today. The speedy Cafe in scoring position with one out for Josh Zamora, the three-hole hitter. Right on right, first pitch slider dives low and away for ball one. Sears has a perfect 3-for-3 in save opportunities this year. He grabbed 9 saves for Columbia in 2023. 1-0. Fastball, top of the zone, a called strike. As a team this year, Quad Cities is 8-for-11 in save opportunities. That's a success rate of just under 73%. A look to second, 1-1. Behind the batter into the screen. Cape is going to get to third with no throw. Goodness gracious, where did that come from? That was a 79-mile-per-hour pitch that went well behind Zamora. And now Derek Lewis, the Bandits pitching coach, is going to come out to check on the right-hander. Just trying to settle him down here. Unfortunately for the Bandits, they're in the worst part of the order for the Sky Carp. Zamora, the three-hitter. Cleanup guy Jake DeLeo on deck. The infield joins the conversation as well. As I was mentioning earlier, the Bandits have locked down games at maybe the best rate of any team in the league. When leading after 6, the Bandits are 13-0. When leading after 7, they're 12-0. And when leading after 8, they're 11-0. Bandits have led since the end of the 7th inning today, even though they led 1-0 for the entire first half of the ballgame practically. Infield now in for Quad Cities as DeLu's back in the dugout. 2-1 pitch to Zamora. Is low and inside for ball 3. And now behind in the count, a walk may not be the worst thing in the world because it would put the double play in order. Tying run at third. Sears deals. That ball's in the air, left center field. Rockefort sprinting up to it, makes the catch. They send the runner to the plate. The throw from center is well laid. Tie ball game. Josh Zamora got himself into a hitter's count. And he converts with the sac fly. That'll be the first blown save of the year for Ben Sears. But he did get the second out, and the bases are clear. So now Jake DeLeo, the right fielder. Jake, 0-for-2 with a walk. Right on right, first pitch. Popped up. Left field, charging in Nadal, and he will get there to make the catch. So we will need extra innings in this series finale. The Beloit Sky Carp have just 3 hits in the game, but their second run knots it up in the 9th. We go to 10 at ABC Supply Stadium. This is Midwest League Baseball on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Watch me now.
Listen up, baseball fans. The Bally Live app is your home for everything MILB. Download the app today and watch every single MILB game absolutely free. Chat and interact with other fans. Play daily games and win prizes. Plus, you'll get access to the MILB Zone, where you can follow your favorite MILB players and teams all season long. So step up to the plate and download the Bally Live app today.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag bandit together.
Ben Sears blows his first save and gives up just his second run of the season as the Sky Carp tie the game up at 2 in the 9th and send us to extras. Carter Jensen, the placed runner at second in the top of the 10th. The first batter, Trevor Werner, and he takes the first pitch low for ball one. Taylor remains out there for the Carp after stranding a couple of key insurance runs for the Bandits in their half of the ninth inning. Left-handed pitcher looks back to Jensen. The 1-0 to Werner is a slider taken for a strike. Trevor is due for a hit. He is 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts today. His last hit came all the way back on Wednesday. The 1-1. Slider taken outside. 2-1. Now Davis Nadal had a bunt single against Taylor in the ninth, and he hit Rockefeller with a pitch. Otherwise, no hits have left the outfield for Taylor. 2-1. Foul back to the screen. I think Werner chased out of the zone. Slider was outside, but 22 is tempted. In extra innings this year, Quad Cities is a perfect 2-0. But they have not played extras in the month of April, or rather the month of May. Their last extra inning contest was back during the third series of the year. 2-2. High fly ball, right field, pretty deep, but playable for DeLeo. He will make the catch. Jensen tags from second. On his way to third he goes. And the toss from DeLeo's cut off. So a productive first out. And as the first man up in extras, you just have to at least move the man 90 feet. And that's exactly what Werner does. I beg your pardon. The last extra inning game for Quad Cities was back in April. Remember, it was during that doubleheader against West Michigan. Quad Cities got a 2-1 win in eight innings. So now Brett Squires to the center stage. First pitch. Called strike, outside edge. If there's anybody you want up right now, it's Brett Squires, who has hit nearly 500 this week. He drove in three runs yesterday, including a two-run homer. 0-1. Low with the slider. One ball, one strike. Squires with singles in his first two plate appearances, but he's working on back-to-back strikeouts. Taylor kicks and fires. Swing and a miss. That slider, a problem for left-handed batters. It is 1-2. Quad Cities has struck out 16 times today. That matches their season high. 1-2 pitch. Popped in the air. Foul ground on the left side. Third baseman Marinez by the tarp. Reaches out and makes the catch. And that's not anywhere deep enough to score Jensen. There are two gone. That's a huge out for Evan Taylor. He is going through the ringer in the most dangerous part of the Bandits' order. And he got two of the most powerful bats. So now it's up to Dustin Dickerson, who has had some really solid hits for Quad Cities this season, including one yesterday. Again, the RBI single in the ninth to ensure a lead. He's trying to give the Bandits the lead once more today. First pitch. Fastball away. Dickerson 1-for-3 with a single, a walk, and a run scored. And they are going to intentionally walk Dickerson to go left on left against Jared Dickey. So after that first pitch missed, Skycarp say, hey, let's just play to the matchup we want. And if you're Jared Dickey, you would love nothing more than to make him pay for that decision. The umpires are now convening near the mound. About what? I'm not sure. And now they're going to wave out the Beloit manager. Again, the acting manager today. It's not Billy Gardner Jr. It's Angel Espada, the defensive coach. And now Schmidt pointing to Brooks Conrad. He just said something to Espinada. And now to Brooks. They'll convene on the left side of the diamond. Okay, now here comes Dickerson back to home plate. This is interesting.
No one could foresee the events unfolding before their eyes.
Okay, then. So Dickerson's going to step back into the box. They tried to intentionally walk him for the left-on-left matchup after Taylor missed out of the zone with his first pitch. Wouldn't be the first time that's ever happened. But this, I think, a first. Dickerson has to put all his gear back on, and now he's going back into the batter's box. This, folks, is why you have Whiteout as the broadcaster. So we'll mark that up, and Dickerson steps back in. Go ahead, run at third, two outs in the top of the 10th. Dickerson will get a second chance to bring him home. Taylor ready to fire the pitch. Outside, Barstad makes a diving catch to keep it from going to the backstop. Oh my goodness, what a phenomenal play by the Beloit catcher. That was run-saving, if not game-saving. And they're going to get a new baseball out to Taylor. Yeah, that was the issue. Must have been a little slick. So he's got that fresh ball ready to toss. Dickerson in the count, ahead 2-0. And now he takes a changeup for a called strike. Dickerson has moved his way up in the order for Brooks Conrad. Usually he's a guy who's in the bottom third of the card, but his production has earned him a spot batting fifth today. 2-1. Slider at the knees, a called strike two. Bandits, again, 16 strikeouts today, a number they have not hit since back in West Michigan a month ago. A long pause from Taylor. Now the 2-2. Got him swinging on the slider. He got a piece of it, but Barstad held on, and Quad Cities strands the placed runner at third base. That is some clutch pitching from Evan Taylor. First in the ninth, now in the 10th. And now Beloit will look to win it in the bottom half, needing just one run to win the ball game. Ben Sears back out there for Quad Cities. We're still tied at two on the River Bandits Baseball Network.
Modern Woodman Park has hosted baseball since 1931, but it's not just home to the River Bandits. It's the perfect location for your next event. From incredible views to a dedicated full-time staff, wow your guests with an unforgettable experience in America's best minor league ballpark. For more information on weddings, corporate events, and everything in between, call 563-324-3000 or visit special events at modernwoodmanpark.com. Modern Woodman Park, where your event comes to play.
Summer is here and River Bandits baseball is back at the best minor league ballpark in America. Join the 12-time league champs at Modern Woodman Park for a full season of giveaways, fireworks, top prospects, and endless family fun. To check out this year's promotional schedule and all the daily deals, stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office or visit riverbandits.com.
Welcome back to ABC Supply Stadium in Beloit. We go to the bottom of the 10th, and we are still tied at two. Quad Cities fails to score the placed runner, and now the Sky Carp will look to win it against Ben Sears. Carlos Santiago was supposed to lead off the inning, but they have decided to intentionally walk him and put a force at first, second, and third. Jake DeLeo, the placed runner, obviously still standing at second. Now Sears will get an opportunity to face three straight right-handed hitters instead of the switch hitter Santiago. So the first man he will pitch to in this inning is Torin Montgomery. Sears steps off the back of the slab and pulls out his card. He and Omar Hernandez trying to get on the same page with the signals. Montgomery 1-for-3 with a single today. Sears deals. First pitch slider right there for strike one. The Bandits have not lost an extra inning game this year. And Sears had not blown a save until the ninth inning today when the Sky Carp tied it up on Zamora's sack fly. A one. Wave and a miss. Nothing in two on Montgomery. Shane Panzini got the start for the Bandits. Six innings, one run, seven strikeouts. Chase Wallace threw an inning and two-thirds perfect, and Sears almost slammed the door. 0-2. Fouled into the screen. When you're the road team and you do not score that placed runner in the top half of the extra inning, it is very, very hard to win. But Bandits pitching staff has been phenomenal all series and all year for that matter. 0-2. Curveball just a bit low. One ball, two strikes. These kinds of games where you lean on your pitching and you just try to grind something out at the plate later on. Sears trying to move us to the 11th. 1-2 pitch. Slider, line drive, left field. It's down for a base hit. Nadal chases towards the wall. He won't get there. That wins the ball game for Beloit. A walk-off RBI single for Torin Montgomery, and the Sky Carp win the series 3-2. It's the Bandits' first series loss of 2024. Well, you got to tip your cap to Beloit. They came to the plate in the ninth inning with just two hits and one run, and they find a way to win an extra inning pitcher's duel 3-2 to close out the series. River Bandits postgame show coming up next. We'll wrap up this week and the Bandits' two-week road trip before hitting the road for Quad Cities this evening. Your final score at ABC Supply Stadium, Beloit 3, Quad Cities 2. Postgame show coming your way next.
Celebrate the history of America's pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that shape and change the game and our country. And relive the careers of legends who have earned the greatest honor in sports. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org.
Whether you're following your favorite Royals prospects, a lifelong River Bandits fan, or just looking for the latest rain delay update, fans can bandit together all summer long by liking the team on Facebook and following us on Twitter and Instagram. Just search for the handle at QC River Bandits or hashtag Bandit Together.
Beloit Sky Carp never led in the game until the last at-bat of the game. Torin Montgomery, the walk-off hero in 10 innings as the Bandits fall 3-2 in the series finale and drop their first series of the season, 4-2. Here's what the final line score looked like as we open up today's River Bandits postgame show. For Quad Cities, two runs, seven hits, one error. They go 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position and strand 10 men on base, including at least one in the final seven innings of the game. For Beloit, three runs, four hits, one error. They get just two at-bats with runners in scoring position, and they go one for two with the one hit, the walk-off swing. They strand four. The winning pitcher is Evan Taylor, who most certainly earned it out of the bullpen for the Beloit Skycarp. He pitches a scoreless ninth and a scoreless 10th inning, stranding three base runners, including the placed runner, in extra innings. He goes two shutout frames, allowing one hit with no walks and two strikeouts. That win his second of the year. The loss and the first blown save of the year to Ben Sears. He's 0-1. He gives up two runs, one earned on an inning in the third, two hits, one walk, and one strikeout. Both starting pitchers were phenomenal today. Shane Panzini and Alex Williams went toe-to-toe, but it was Panzo slightly outperforming Williams. He goes one extra inning, six frames total, allowing one run on two hits, three walks, and seven strikeouts. The one run, the homer by Chase Luttrell in the sixth, which tied the game at one at the time. For Williams, five innings of one-run ball, five hits, no walks, eight strikeouts. We were treated to a tremendous matchup there. And then the bullpen's also good. Chase Wallace earned his second hold of the year, going an inning and two-thirds perfect, taking us to the eighth inning. And for the Skycarp, Josh White gave up one run in an inning and two-thirds. He departed having not allowed a run, but Ignacio Feliz, his successor, threw a wild pitch with a man at third base, and White was charged with a tally. But Feliz himself goes an inning and a third scoreless, no hits, two walks, and four strikeouts. Final time of the ballgame, 2 hours and 48 minutes in the series finale, with 1,924 to see it here at ABC Supply Stadium. Offensively, Quad Cities had just one multi-hit effort, and it came courtesy of Brett Squires, who started out the day 2-for-2 with a pair of singles, a run scored, and a stolen base. But in the second half of the game, Skycarp staff kept him in check. He finishes the ballgame 0-for-3 with two strikeouts and a pop-up. Quad Cities as a whole struck out a season-high 13 times. Let's check the Midwest League scoreboard one more time, where everybody has wrapped up their week of action. The Wisconsin Timber Rattlers fall to Great Lakes at Fox City Stadium, so the Loons sit atop the Eastern Division and atop all of the Midwest League with an 18-9 record. They beat the Rattlers 5-3, with both Wisconsin and Quad Cities falling to 17-10. In Cedar Rapids, the Colonels improved to 15-11. They blank Peoria 6-0 at Rise to Greatness Field. At Day Air Ballpark in Dayton, the West Michigan Whitecaps ride a 5-run first inning to an 8-6 win over the Dragons. The Lansing Lugnuts hold off a South Bend Cubs rally over at Jackson Field. Lansing wins 8-7. And in Lake County, the Captains blank the Tin Caps 6-0. As we mentioned earlier, Single-A Columbia and Double-A Northwest Arkansas both rained out today. The Fireflies were supposed to complete a suspended game from yesterday and played their regularly scheduled Sunday game after, but neither got in, although it does appear that Columbia and Carolina got at least one inning in their suspended game's continuation, but they're stopped in the top of the fifth inning with the Fireflies up 1-0. And of course, you need to complete five innings in order to count that game. Northwest Arkansas doesn't finish its series against Wichita, but Omaha finished its set against Iowa despite a rain-filled week, and really just a rain-filled month for the Storm Chasers thus far. But they beat the I-Cubs, improving to 19-11. Final score in Des Moines at 3-2. Next week, the River Bandits go home for the first time in two series. They welcome in the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers for the first of six games, with first place in the Midwest League West Division available. Both the Quad Cities River Bandits and the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, 17-10. It should be one heck of a series against the Milwaukee Brewers High A affiliate next week. So make sure you go to riverbandits.com or stop by the Modern Woodman Park box office to get your tickets. And of course, check out the full promotional schedule as well. lots of good stuff coming up in addition to the baseball. With the loss, the Bandits are now 17-10 overall, 10-8 on the road. And as I mentioned earlier, they dropped their first series of the year, having won four straight to open their schedule. The Beloit Skycarp improved to 15-11 overall. They're just 1.5 games back of Wisconsin and Quad Cities, so you know they'll be keeping an eye on next week's series in Davenport. They are now a Midwest League best, 12-3 here at ABC Supply Stadium, and they take 4 out of 6 games from Quad Cities to wrap up this week. That'll pretty much do it for our broadcast here in Beloit. My name is Kyle Kercheval. Wherever you tuned in from this series, it's so always a pleasure to have you along with us, and we can't wait to see you next week in Davenport. Of course, you can catch us here at riverbandits.com for our audio-only stream, but we'll also bring you the broadcast on MILB TV and Bally Live, so you can watch the action along with us. Until then, have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Have a terrific Monday, and then we'll see you in downtown Davenport on Tuesday for a 6-game series against the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. First pitch, 6:30. We'll have your pregame show at 6:20 here on the River Bandits Baseball Network. Again, thank you so much. My name's Kyle Kercheval. So long and good night from Beloit.